you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
And I strongly urge you and your family to take every precaution against the influence of being.
The reason that bad things happen to you is because you're a dumbass.
Kevin the Bean, Kevin the Bean. Kevin the Bean, Kevin the Bean. Kevin the Bean, Kevin the Bean, Kevin the Bean.
That is all.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I love to suck play and suck play with like and lick nipples and licking. And you? Where is that in the Bible? Explain that to me.
There's a human part.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Neither.
And now.
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some brews.
Our feature presentation.
Which she does on a regular basis, let's be honest.
Well, yeah.
She pounds brews. Nobody can pound like Lisa. You know? Who's with me? Morning, everybody. It's 5:31. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Tuesday, the 20th of February. Ola.
So I'm out, drinking on Friday night and partying.
As you do.
I don't know how it happened, but you know how it is something seems like a good idea at the time, and you just kind of go with it, and then you wake up, you know, the next day, and you go, oh, my God, what have I done? I mean, we've all been there, right? So I thought, I'm going to go shave my head. And I just, for some reason, I just had this crazy, I'm going to go shave my head. So I found this place, and I went and I shaved my head. And then I thought, you know what? That's fun. That's cool. That's a great way to spend an hour. But now I'm going to go get bunches of tattoos. I mean, just crazy, random tattoos just all over my body. So I went and found another place. What? I'm telling you what I did this weekend.
Yeah, that was Britney Spears.
Yeah, that was her weekend.
That was not you.
That wasn't me?
No.
First of all, you don't drink.
You don't drink.
Second of all, you don't party.
I have seen you shave your head, and that's ugly.
True.
Oh, I thought that was me.
That's Britney Spears. It's funny because
that's right.
It's funny because on Friday night I was driving past the place where she did her hair. And there were news vans out there like crazy. Channel 2, Channel 9, I think Channel 7 was there with their antennas way up. I was like, dude, what's going on here? I just drove on by, didn't have any idea that she was in there at the time shaving her head.
When did you find out about it?
I don't know. It's hard to
I
put
heard
your
Sunday
on.
From someone.
Okay. The reason I say that is because I heard about it Friday night, and I swear to God, this is true, what I'm about to tell you. I heard about it Friday night, and all I kept thinking is, please, Brittany, be alive when we come on the air Tuesday. Because honestly, she looks like she's heading so fast toward Anna Nicole Smithville that I really thought there was a possibility that she's hit rock bottom and she's not still going to be alive. We won't be able to make fun of her shaving her head on Tuesday because she'll be dead.
She did leave, I guess she went to rehab for drinking in, where, the Bahamas or the Caribbean?
She did?
After one day.
She did?
Yeah.
She left after a day, yeah.
I didn't even know she went in.
I think it was one of those deals, it seems to me, and we're going to get all the details from Harvey Levin a little bit later on this morning, but it seems to me like she was they did kind of have an intervention for her, friends and family, etc., and she was kind of doing it on their advice, and she was down there a day, and she left, came right here and shaved her head, so... Who could have ever predicted at the beginning of this whole thing with her and K-Fed, again, that he would be the responsible-looking one?
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
there's child custody going on here. You would think she would know that, and at least, I don't know, keep your party until later when you have custody.
Mike had
so
a good
you can
point,
ignore
though.
Them.
We were talking about this off-air, and you know, she's spinning out of control, but like you said, she has had two babies in a row. Maybe she's got postpartum depression, and then her marriage broke up. She's just, you know, super depressed and not getting any help.
I can see that. There are reasons why. Yeah. I can imagine that's altered.
She did two babies and a divorce in like a 15-month span. That's pretty, I mean, that's pretty hardcore, especially when you've got...
And then the world's looking at you.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't have those kids or that husband around anymore, though. It's not like they're taking up any of her time.
So how did the news fans find out? That's what I want to know.
I imagine the hair shop or the tattoo shop called them. I imagine. I don't know.
Yeah. Because they got there real fast.
They were there, They were all out in front. I was like, dude, what's going on here? That's probably something pretty cool. Instead of pulling over like I usually do, I drove by. But, she's, and you know what, it's funny, too, because if she wanted to, I don't know, if she wanted to have a private breakdown, she could.
She totally
could. She doesn't have to go to some random hair salon in Sherman Oaks or wherever it was to do it. I mean, she knows she's going to get coverage there. I mean, maybe that's why she did it.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like a bid for attention.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're going out the next night, and of course she was, and she did, why wear a wig? Everybody in the world knows you're bald. What are you wearing a wig for?
Oh, maybe she woke up the next morning and went, oh, no.
Like that bride on YouTube.
What did I do? That'd be awesome. She didn't remember any of it.
She was so drunk.
She's bald. She's calling up her security guards and everybody. What happened? Who shaved me?
Well, you did.
No, how dare you?
She's,
you made us back off.
Drunk dialing TMZ in the middle of the night trying to get into a party. Oh, yeah, that was you.
That was well, that is a fascinating story, I'll tell you.
You bring up a good point that maybe the reason Esther, the hair salon lady, didn't want to do it is because she was worried that somehow she was going to get sued afterward for messing with her image. You know, they would end up suing her because now she's not marketable or whatever. So maybe that's why Brittany had to grab the shears and do it herself.
And if Brittany was drunk at the time, then, you know, you really shouldn't be listening to what she's saying.
Yeah. Those of you that didn't follow the story, the hair cutter did say no. And that's weird, too, that somebody would come in to a hair salon and say, I would like my hair done, however. And they go, no. I'm not feeling that. You can use my clippers, but that's about it. I'm not going any further than that.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre story.
Now the lady's trying to sell the hair for $1 million on eBay.
Yeah. Is that legal? Aren't they going to take that down on eBay?
No, yeah, I think body parts? I think you're not allowed to sell body parts, yeah. Which is a shame because I don't know how I'm going to get her DNA.
She was going to sell it strand by strand, hair by hair. I'm not sure, but
that's what she ought to do. She ought to like mount it on little cards or something in frames.
Little plaque.
Yeah.
She could start her own website and sell it. She doesn't need them.
She's the best.
Guys, it's all funny until she's dead in less than a year.
And yeah, I know.
I don't think any of us will be surprised.
Brittany!
No, I would be surprised. I don't see that happening.
Really? Well, what more do you need to see? What more warning signs do you need to see for depression?
Well, she doesn't do drugs, for one. I think she drinks a lot, not a drug addict.
But she also has had a lot more going on for her than Anna Nicole Smith. I mean, Anna Nicole Smith, honestly, was on a VH1 show early in her career. She was a model, very successful, guest and all that stuff, Playboy. But, you know, as of late, it's been nothing but just getting made fun of and the TV show. She's been spiraling forever. Britney Spears had a hell of a career.
She did, but for the last 2 years, she's had nothing.
No, but she does have talent. She could make a comeback.
And she just gets made fun of all the time.
Dude, and she has a family she talks to.
She's obviously off her rocker somehow.
Yeah.
But if she dies and K-Fed lives, that's wrong. Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody's going to have to make that right. And I'm not suggesting that anyone do.
Did anybody, K-Fed, by the way, the kids in this whole mess, see the funniest pictures ever of Justin Timberlake and K-Fed hanging at a club together?
Yeah.
That's the best. No, really?
That's the best.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
Probably what pushed her over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beyond them just passing on the red carpet the other night and giving a 1 second hug that actually was another time after
this,
that night?
This looked like to be at like a nightclub. It was in one of the Us Weeklies. And it didn't look as if they are best friends forever, but they were, you know, sitting, talking, chit-chatting, smiles on their face.
How much did she drink when she was with you? Oh, man, how much did she drink when she was with you? Oh, wow. So anyway, Britney Spears, hell of a weekend. She had a better weekend than a worse weekend, I guess you could say, than any of
than
us.
Most
probably.
Of us, yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ today, The Hammer. We'll find out all the details, all the behind the scenes. You know, as the stories unfold, Harvey gets more and more information. He's got people inside the hair salon, I'm sure. He's got people everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So. He's got people inside the hair shears. Are you kidding me?
He does, yeah, inside the hair follicles. So we'll talk to Harvey this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have to have an intervention of our own. And this time not for me.
Oh, okay.
This time it's for Omar.
Well, I don't know how to do it then, if it's not for you.
How dare you?
I have all my stories ready about you.
This time it's this time it's for
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, He's running into some trouble of his own.
No kidding. I haven't heard this.
He's doing his own version of breaking out of rehab and flying back to shave his head. And he's acting out. And like Bean says, you see the signs. If you're friends, you need to do something about it.
He's got a little, had a little bit of a problem this weekend staying in control, Lisa.
Really? DJ Omar Khan.
Yes. I think he needs to have a heart-to-heart sit-down with a urinal cake is what I think.
DJ Omar Khan.
So anyway, that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Jerry Springer will be here. Jerry is starting his 16th season of that talk show.
Unbelievable. Jerry.
It's funny because most times when society turns on you, which they did his show a while back, society turns on you hard, and you're the evil in the world, and everything is blamed on you and your show, and that happened with the heat of 1,000 suns to Jerry Springer, and he just kept right on going. It didn't bother him at all.
Because there's a segment of society that loves Jerry.
Didn't slow him down. Nothing. Yep. He just is still continuing on.
He's also smart enough to jump on, you know, on board the bandwagon of those who, you know, hate his show and make fun of his show. He'll be the first to tell you that it's just entertainment.
That's true.
Don't take it seriously.
So we're going to talk to him coming up in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. Speaking of the 6 o'clock hour, Christina Ricci,
nice.
Is going to be on the show. She's in this new movie, Snake Moaner.
Black Snake Moan.
Which is a really awful title, but looks like it might be a good movie. Samuel L. Jackson ties her up. She plays a white nympho, oddly enough. So that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Plus, if you missed Brandon Boyd stopping by the studio from Incubus, he did that on Friday. And we've got some highlights for you just after 6. We know a lot of you are Incubus fans or Brandon fans, so we'll give you some highlights of that coming up just after 6. From the Los Angeles Kings, Anjay Kopitar, who is a 19-year-old.
Really?
Oh.
From Slovenia. Yeah. Born in 1987. Playing in the Los Angeles Kings. So that's pretty cool. They had a series with the Ducks over the weekend. As you know, we talked to Chris Pronger from the Ducks on Friday.
Yes.
And then over the weekend, Chris Pronger did get hit in the mouth with a puck.
The curse of Kevin continues.
But the Ducks beat the Kings in overtime on a shootout. And it was like 5 shootouts at the end of the game for the Ducks to win on Saturday night. And then they went down to Anaheim and played again, the Kings and the Ducks. And the Kings won in a shootout after 6 rounds in overtime.
Well, now I don't know if there's a curse or not.
So 2 overtime games. Well, it was...
Maybe for him.
It wasn't the team I was rooting for.
Right.
See?
Okay.
So anyway, we're going to talk to him about the hell of a weekend. Ralph spent some time getting some interviews. Sci-Fi Channel has a new TV show. It's actually 1 season old. I guess they're going into season 2. Who Wants to Be a Superhero? Where you make up your own superhero. You make up the powers. You make up the name. Everything that goes along with it. Maybe you have a theme song, whatever.
It's just a geek fest.
Yes, and they had auditions on Friday. And those people that auditioned for that show are American Idol times 10.
Yeah, these are the geeks that didn't make it.
Exactly. So
the ones that did make it are bad enough.
Ralph's going to bring in that info, and he's also going to tell us about the opening weekend for Ghost Rider, which made $500 trillion since
Friday. Not sure that's accurate, but it was
close.
It was a lot.
Yeah. So we'll do that, and we're going to take a quick break and come back with all the other stories with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
During the song there, Dave was in telling us about all the places they got thrown out of Vegas over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out to you, Ralph, that Dave apparently is taking his training very seriously for the upcoming drink boxing match.
Note to self, never go to Vegas with Dave and Omar.
He's working on the first part, the drinking.
Sounds like a nightmare.
He's doing that.
Yeah. It's not exactly trading hard for the match coming up. It's 5:52 Tuesday morning, not Monday like you'd expect on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with all the showbiz news. Good morning, Ralph.
We usually on Mondays take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies for the 4-day holiday weekend box office, shall we? Ghost Rider, Sony Pictures comic book adaptation starring Nicolas Cage, universally panned. Everyone mocked me when I said, oh, Ghost Rider looks cool.
Yeah.
$51.5 million from Friday to Monday.
That is shocking.
It really is.
The
even you said it doesn't look like one of the best comic book movies.
I was interested because I'm a comic book geek,
no,
but I thought no one else was going to go. I thought it was going to be like Daredevil and just be a big thud.
Hey, they didn't even show it ahead of time to critics. This is one of those where they said, look, we're just going to release it, figuring there's a fan base, and they were right.
Best Hollywood opening this year, obviously by far. Huge, huge weekend for Ghost Rider. Second at the box office was Bridge to Terabithia.
I don't recall that movie.
What is that?
I think it's a story about two drunk K-Rock employees trying to get across from one casino to the other Sky Walkway in Vegas.
That was King of Mexico and Omar this weekend. Mind.
Then I have no idea what the Bridge to Terabithia is. But it made $29 million, I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
It's a Christian kids thing.
Yeah. Oh, God bless Jesus and the babies.
All right.
Okay. Norbit was third at the box office, made an additional $20.7 million.
Wait a minute.
How was that, Ralph?
I still didn't get to it.
What?
Yeah. Is this its third weekend in release?
This is the second week.
Second week.
Yes.
$20 million is more than number one's a lot of weekends.
That's true.
Wow.
Hey, man, Adam. Hey.
Music and Lyrics, the new Hugh Grant movie, made $16 million at the box office, made it number 4. Tyler Perry's Daddy's Little Girls made $14.3 million, good enough to make it number 5 over the long weekend. Breach, was number six, then Hannibal Rising, Because I Said So, Night at the Museum, and The Messengers, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. You guys were talking about Britney Spears having her nervous breakdown, shaving off all of her hair and getting some tattoos.
Yep.
Well, apparently the tattoo artists at the shop where Britney got her two new tats said, after Britney left, we said to each other, we just saw a huge celebrity on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Oh, man.
Was she super drunk during this whole
They
ordeal?
Say they don't know, but she seemed really distraught and disturbed, say the two tattoo artists. She was very scatterbrained.
Yeah.
It was crazy, very surreal. She's definitely crying out. Unconfirmed press reports later claim around 2 o'clock in the morning, later that same evening, Britney Spears was at Cedars-Sinai's Medical Center in Beverly Hills wearing a dark wig.
Oh, no.
Where she was briefly spoken to by some of the staff and then put away in a private room. She apparently left the hospital a few hours later, so no details on why she would be there.
Would she just go take a nap?
I think she just wanted to go get committed. Can you just put me in a padded cell for a while so I can bounce around?
Well, they said, you know, she pulled out in front of the place where she got her haircut, and she just sat in the car and cried for like 10 minutes before she went in. Then she went home after getting the tattoos and the haircut, then went back to the hospital, then back home, and then out partying the next night. I mean, somebody needs to rein her in. Where's her mama?
Well, reportedly, while she was shaving off all her own hair, she kept mumbling, my mom's going to hate this. My mom's going to hate this.
Really?
Yeah.
You think?
But I think it was definitely an F you to mom somehow. I don't know what's been going on in their relationship, but it seems like that's at the crux of it. So, good times.
Still have the kids at all, Ralph? Or no?
No. Okay. Children. That's so 2000. Not to be outdone, Lindsay Lohan wasted no time getting back to her hard-partying lifestyle. Friday, she had completed her 30-day stay at the Wonderland Center in Hollywood Hills, her rehab. Of course, Thursday night, however, the day before she was released, she was spotted partying at Teddy's, a nightclub in Hollywood.
Well, she was celebrating a release. That makes sense.
That's a hell of a rehab right there.
The 20-year-old, meaning still not legally allowed to drink in the United States, was photographed also Friday night after she had been released from the Wonderland Center at a L.A. club called Le Dieu. She was hanging out with Justin Timberlake there in the parking lot as they were both leaving the club. So,
well,
the party doesn't have to end.
I guess not.
Just because you're going to rehab? Party don't stop till the panties drop. That's what I've always been told.
Exactly.
Of course, she probably wasn't wearing any, but. Remember a story I told you last week about Ralph Fiennes banging the stewardess on the Qantas Airlines?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were coming back a long haul from Australia to India, however. And reportedly, the two became amorous in the bathroom there, and then she was suspended from the company while an investigation took place. I told you originally, the stewardess told her bosses that Ralph Fiennes followed her into the lavatory when she was going to go to the bathroom, where she had to reject his sexual advances and then eventually convince him to leave. She has since changed her story.
Is that right?
Lisa Robertson, the Qantas airline hostess, now says that she always had a crush on Ralph Fiennes. I've always fancied him, and to see him on my flight was quite a thrill. I reached down for his hand. I told him to follow me. We went into the toilet and locked the door, and off came much of our clothes.
And she said to him,
I swear to God, I will mount you right now.
So,
how about that?
Hey, the story she told initially was not the truth. Surprise,
I read the interview she gave to the newspaper, and apparently once she thought about it and realized she's unemployed, she thought, hey, I can get a lot of money if I actually tell the truth on this story instead of denying it.
Well, there you go. Good for her.
If I had a buck for every time a stewardess grabbed my hand and said, follow me on the plane, you know?
Tell me about it.
You know? Man.
Over the weekend, Tom Brady was hanging out with supermodel Gisele Bündchen.
Oh.
Yeah.
And had no statement regarding his pregnant ex-girlfriend, Bridget Moynihan, who he has knocked up and then ended their relationship late last year. No word from Tom Brady regarding the bastard child.
He's too busy. He's got no time for that.
And they said Cylons and humans couldn't mate. The new New England Patriot quarterback robot has nothing to say about Bridget Moynihan because apparently his hard drive has been wiped clean. He does not remember her at all.
Gotcha.
Very sad. And another continuing chapter in the Anna Nicole Smith drama. Last night, Greta Van Susteren over there on Fox News aired a video of Anna and Howard K. Stern when she was 8 months pregnant.
Uh-oh.
Obviously, in the video, she is impaired in some way.
Really? What a surprise.
Stammering and stuttering. Meanwhile, Howard seems to think the whole thing's a joke. At one point, he turns to her and says, are you on a mushroom trip? And then said, oh, I'm just kidding. Later in the tape, Howard says into the camera, this footage is going to be worth money.
Oh, he's so hateable.
That's when you really love somebody, when you see them 8 months pregnant and loaded up on something, and you're making gags and saying how much money the footage is going to be worth.
Oh, he's so hateable. And he gets everything, right? Is that what we found out with the will thing, that he gets everything, that it was for Daniel, who's gone, so now he...
Well, it'll go to the baby, I assume.
He's the executor of the state.
He is the executor of the will, yeah. Also, in a related story, Shane Gibson, the Bahamian immigration minister, has now resigned.
He's the guy that was found in her arms?
Well, there were photos of him on a bed with Anna Nicole Smith, but the pair was fully clothed, and the pictures were obviously taken in fun at some party, but he still realized that maybe it was a little inappropriate since he was in control of whether she stayed in the country or not.
Yeah.
And said, although he swears he did not have a sexual relationship with Anna Nicole, he recognizes that perhaps he didn't use his power as immigration minister quite as wisely as he could have.
Did he say anything about...
The act that dare not speak its name.
He said he dare not speak its name.
All right.
He's the only one we can be sure is not the father, by the way. Just looking at him and looking at the baby, I don't think there's much chance of that.
What are you talking about, Willis? Anna?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Anthony Stewart Head. You might remember him as Giles on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Sure.
He was also in Little Britain, very popular TV series over there on the BBC America and other British projects. 53 years old today, real talented guy. Cindy Crawford. Remember her? Remember Cindy Crawford?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, could that girl eat a candy cane.
Yes, she could.
she could suck the red right off that red and white candy cane, couldn't she?
Yeah, that's burned into my mind, imprinted on my mind.
You know,
forever.
I asked Psycho Mike 20 minutes ago, I said, make sure you have the Cindy Crawford eating a candy cane audio for me because I'm going to need it during birthdays.
Okay,
I'll take care of it. I'll make sure it's ready. And he's he's fishing for bass right now.
It before the show started. I heard
then
it.
Then why is it? Why do I have to tap
Where
dance waiting
go,
for it?
Right
then he was doing it during the beginning of your report. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, don't worry about it. It's for Ralph. And then he went to some other file someplace. So that he didn't have it available. You want it now?
No. Help him now.
He's got it up now.
I don't want it.
All right.
Lily Taylor, one of my favorite actresses. You know her in a lot of independent films. She's very, very talented. 40 years old today. Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under. She played Claire Fisher on that show. Turns 29. And Rihanna, the singer, is 19 years old today. So she's 19.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every bit of it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
While we wait for Jerry Springer to call him, by the way, if he's late and he coincides with Christina Ricci's call, there's only one direction to
going.
Go, right?
Yeah.
It's Christina Ricci.
Of course.
Some past titles of Jerry Springer Show, and this is why we love it, is You're Too Fat to Make Porn. Two Fat Men in a Pole. Surprise, I'm a transsexual. Every time the word surprise is used in Jerry Springer, it's a bad. My wife and I have the same lover. My wife is sleeping with my aunt.
Oh.
Clanfrontation. It's a good band name, by the way.
Yeah.
Bean's favorite, I'm in love with a horse.
Oh, come on.
I'm fat, you're fatter. Now that's a TV show. And we'd like to welcome to the air, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Springer.
I ain't never liked you. I ain't never loved you. You're not that good in bed. I needed you at the time. Now I'm done with you.
You got married to someone because you can drink and you weren't 21 yet.
I was stupid.
She needs to take a freaking bath.
Is that an issue?
Yes. She stinks.
Why does your family not like Lisa?
You ain't nothing but a white piece of trash, okay? I got something to reveal to you and to you.
I'm really a woman.
You're what?
You're not in love with him. It was just funny sex?
Yep.
On the next Jerry Springer.
Come on, that's a TV show right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jerry Springer Show returns for its 16th season. It airs weekdays at 1 on KTLA Channel 5 right here in good old L.A., and Jerry Springer joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jer.
Oh, it's great talking to you guys again.
You know you're our hero. You know that.
When this TV show started, you were in high school.
Actually, sadly, Jerry, we were doing this job when your TV show started.
Awful. You and me.
We've been around a long time.
Yeah, we just do the same thing forever.
What was there ever a time, Jerry? I mean, I frankly was a little bit surprised when I saw it's been 16 years already. But were there ever any like between seasons where you thought there was a possibility the show might not be picked up to come back, or has it always been balls to the wall?
I think after about the second year, it became obvious that we had hit a niche in the culture, and there'd always be a spot for us.
How many other shows do shows entitled I Was a Mambo Dancer for the FBI? You know? That's a special program right there.
It is. I think the best job in this whole show is the one that makes up the titles.
No kidding.
We run the same show every day.
You did a very special Christmas episode, Christmas with the Klan. That was nice.
Jerry, I know we've asked you this before, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but how many of these people come on your show just want to be on TV and are making the whole thing up?
Oh, I think that may have been a problem like early years, but that has not been a problem. Now there is so many legalities. They don't get on the show, and they have to sign releases.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's so much legal stuff. Now they get sued if they make it up. So,
oh, really?
Oh, I didn't know interesting, that.
Interesting, huh? Yeah. And I want to ask you, Jerry, because, you know, you're a smart guy and you certainly are an observer of the human condition. When you see something like what went on with Britney Spears over the weekend, what runs through your mind? You've dealt with a lot of damaged people on your program before. What would you do for her?
Well, I think she's a Steve wannabe.
Well, that's possible.
She's trying to shave her head.
That's possible.
Like Steve. I don't know. I think, the truth is we make too much about it. She could be right now just ticked off with everything, and so.
But you don't think it's a serious cry for help?
She's a kid. She's a kid grown up in a very unnatural environment, and you know, fame makes her, fame destroys her. I don't mean to turn this serious, but what the heck? I just don't think it's that. Considering the life she lives, why is that? With all the other things that are going on with her, why is that she shaves her head such the big story?
Well, I think because we see it as a desperate cry for help. I mean, if I were somebody who actually knew her, I would really be trying hard right now to get her some professional help, get her into rehab or something. I mean, I feel like she's going to be dead in a year.
I assume the people around her recognize that. I assume her mother recognizes that. I mean, her mother must have her phone number.
I'll tell you why it's a big deal, because she was hot and now she's not all that.
I don't think I said that right.
Now, I'm sure if her people or friends or acquaintances are listening, I'm sure Jerry would put her on the show if she wanted to come on the Jerry Springer show.
You'd just straighten her out.
Take famous people.
Yeah. Oh, you never do. That's right.
No, if her record sales go a little bit lower, she can be on.
Okay.
If she's a has-been. Hey, Jerry Springer's on the line. We're talking about his 16th season of the Jerry Springer show returning. You are going to be on Good Morning America tomorrow, and you are going to be announcing the contestants for the next round of Dancing with the Stars, which, of course, you were very successful on last season. I know you probably can't tell us who's going to be on, and we don't really care that much, Jerry, but we did hear the reports that Heather Mills McCartney was one of the people who was being considered. Can you tell us whether there's anything to that?
Well, it's possible.
Well, yeah, everything's possible. I could be on it, but...
And Jerry, I kept thinking the reason they have you.
Each season has some new twist to it, and they work. I got to take, because I obviously have nothing to do with the running of the show. I was just a contestant.
Of course.
On it. But they're magical. They figure out each season what's going to work, and if you really love the business, you got to admire these people. They got some. No one would have thought that a dancing show was going to become such a huge hit in America.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, that's a yes. Not. That's a yes on the Heather Mills McCartney
question.
They
figured it out.
Yeah,
I just thought, why are they having Jerry make the announcement? And I thought, because there has to be a freak show involved, and it's the one-legged chick. It's got to be, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't have you do it. They'd have Jerry Rice or somebody do the announcement.
I've heard that theory. but I think they want to get me while I'm still vertical. they're going to use as much as possible while I'm still able to stand.
All right, last question for you, Jerry, because I know you got to move on. Jerry Springer the Musical, coming to America soon?
Yeah, I understand it's coming first to Chicago, and that's going to be interesting. It really was a big hit in England. It won the Olivier Awards and all that, but I think the language is too rough for America, to be honest. So I wasn't so sure this thing would work here, but the producers want to do it, and so they're bringing it to Chicago to start. You know?
Look how well your TV show does, for God's sakes, Jerry. Come on, there's a market.
Well, except that usually theater goers aren't exactly the market for my show.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Were they able to find a good enough looking guy to play you in the musical?
Well, I'll tell you, the guy who played me in England when it first started in London, I swear to God, the poor thing looked just like me.
Oh, you don't have to insult the man, Jerry.
Oh no,
it was eerie.
Wow, they must have had a
sound, the big nose, everything.
They must have had a casting. Do you look like Jerry Springer? Have you always wanted to be in a play?
To have to go through life like that and not be me.
Call 800-96-JERRY.
Yeah,
all right. The Jerry Springer Show again, 16th season, 1 o'clock, Channel 5. Jerry, you are our hero, as Kevin said.
Thank
you, thanks, Ben. Good to talk to you.
Bye now.
Where's my Christina Ricci? We're supposed to talk to her. What's going on?
She heard you and got scared.
She doesn't know that he has a portrait of her in his bathroom. She's not aware of that.
That's where you want it, though. You know what I'm saying?
Apparently the place we're calling to talk to her, she has not arrived yet, so she's still driving around town.
Okay. We'll talk to her, hopefully. Also, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up, and we'll be talking to our friend Harvey the Hammer Levin about all the Britney Spears news. That's all coming up the next hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Speaking of Harvey the Hammer Levin, the TMZ has a new TV show that they're putting together.
Yes.
How do you start a new TV show? I mean, seems like everything's been done, and there's not really room for anything. There's no niche left.
So many entertainment shows on already.
The good people over at NBC4 have come up with a brand new show called Your L.A., and I think it's a local show where they focus on whatever stories they can find. Now, either this was the first week or the first day. I'm not positive.
I think it was the first week.
The first week.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'd think they would come up with their good stuff, and maybe a couple of years from now it would start getting bad, right? Like, oh, now we're scraping the bottom of the barrel because we've done everything.
Well, because you have all the time in the world to come up with your first few shows. It's after that that you're on a deadline and you've got like a day to come up with a new show.
So I think we were tipped off to this by Lisa doing a commercial for her traffic.
It might have been their second week. I'm not sure. But.
It was Your L.A. and she sold it as tips on how to take your ping pong game to the next level. And I said, what? Tips on taking your ping pong game to the next level.
Well, you know there's a massive audience out there. Ping pong players.
I'd be surprised if there was a DVD about that. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, like a niche DVD that's for sale someplace in the world.
That I could see more than putting it on television, that's for sure.
The first week of the show, they're already out, NBC4. they're done. They've already peaked. Your L.A. did a story on how to take your ping pong game to the next level. Now, this is Kevin speaking. I played ping pong my whole life.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually quite good. I could kick all of your asses at once.
Oh, well, okay.
And yet, I don't care to watch this show.
You don't want to take your game to the next level?
So if they're missing me, a guy who's played ping pong his whole life, really, who are they hitting with this special? So they bring on a specialist, and she tells you what the most important thing is to take your ping pong game to the next level.
Welcome to the Westside Table Tennis Club. My name's Wei. First thing, no matter what, let's make sure you hold the paddle right. If you don't grip the paddle right, you will have a problem later.
The most common grip in the Western Hemisphere is called the shake hand grip, which is like this. You hold the finger like this, and then that gives you a backhand and a forehand.
Okay, all right. First week of shows. Now, doesn't somebody get called into the office for this? Really? I mean...
And they have to explain to the woman that it's actually called a paddle, not a pedal?
This sounds more like beginner ping pong, too. I want to go to the next level.
No. She has to start you off the right way. You have to hold the paddle right. Her name, by the way, is Wei Wang. That's her name.
Hey!
So then they start talking about how to concentrate during a game of ping pong.
I need the white ball. I am the white ball. I am the white ball. She's awesome. She's super inspiring.
All right.
Be the white ball. Be the white ball. I am the white ball. That's how to take your ping pong game to the next level.
All right.
This is on TV, people. The first week of their shows. And then they go on to talk about how ping pong was developed, as if we're not already trying to find something sharp to stab ourselves in the eye with.
Well, table tennis was developed in England. I believe it was, you know, when it was raining and they couldn't play tennis, they figured out, well, let's rig up this something indoors. And they played initially with champagne corks that they rounded off, and they knocked those back and forth. And then I believe in the early 20th century, an American developed the use of celluloid ball. And that, of course, made the sport playable now because the ball bounces. True. So it bounces the same way every time, and you can actually develop a technique.
Now, again, I'm going to ask, isn't there a meeting someplace where this is being played and somebody is saying, really? Really? Yeah.
Ping
really?
Pong history?
Really?
That's a lot of information about ping pong. I mean, that really goes above and beyond the interest of most viewers.
Ping pong is one of those things that is to be played, not talked about. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, there's no interest in a story like this. Oh, no, people aren't sitting in front of the TVs going, wow, when was ping pong developed? Interesting.
If I were on the U.S. Olympic ping pong team, I don't think I would have watched this piece.
In the 60s, the Japanese came out with sandwich rubber, which has a sponge and then a top sheet that is very, very spinny.
Now they're talking about the paddles in the 60s.
So you can generate spin up to 8 to 10,000 RPM at world-class level.
What's that music? Music to play ping pong by. So, your LA, first week of shows. Nice job.
Good job.
Nicely done. Glad you're on the air. We would have never had this kind of TV. You're certainly trendsetters, and we salute you.
Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat.
You know, the first Dirty Harry movie was based on that same killer, the Zodiac.
Oh, yeah,
killer.
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah. Very popular killer for movies, that Zodiac dude. Good stuff. Everybody have a good long weekend. Nice vacation.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice long weekend. Well, it wasn't nice for everybody. Certainly some celebrities had a bad weekend. Heather Mills, the soon-to-be ex-Mrs. Paul McCartney, has been dumped by PETA. The organization says it no longer wants to work with her.
Wow, someone was too extreme for PETA?
No, here's what happened. PETA asked Mary McCartney, Paul's directing daughter, to shoot an ad campaign for them.
Uh-huh.
And she said, sure, I'd love to work for you, as long as you dump Heather Mills and never work with her again. Booyaka!
Wow.
And they said, okay, see ya, Heather Mills. They gave her the boot.
They wouldn't
just
have
won because that's all she needs.
Right.
I'm guessing they wouldn't have if they liked her, but they probably were looking to get rid of her anyway because she's so hateable.
It's a convenient excuse to get rid of her. Bridget Moynihan had a rough weekend. She had announced over the weekend that she's knocked up by her ex-boyfriend, New England quarterback / robot Tom Brady. Apparently, the two of them ended their three-year relationship at the end of last week, and as timing would have it, that's when she got pregnant with his baby.
Ouch. Mm.
Tom didn't have any comment this weekend. He was busy spending time in Paris with his new supermodel girlfriend, Gisele Bündchen.
He wins.
Wow.
The Cylons have evolved, man. Now they're playing quarterback. I'm telling you.
That's his life, by the way, going from dumping Bridget Moynihan and then dating Gisele Bündchen. That's the life of Tom Brady.
Well, once they get pregnant, there's no point in hanging around to him anymore.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Britney Spears, of course, had a rough weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We all saw her shaving all of her hair off and then getting new tattoos and winding up at Cedars-Sinai Hospital at 2 in the morning.
She's bald.
She's very bald.
Doesn't look good on her.
Not so much. The ladies who did her tattoos at the tattoo parlor said that she was, and I quote, distraught and disturbed. After she left, we said to each other, says one of the ladies, we just saw a huge celebrity on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Do you do a tattoo on someone who's distraught and disturbed?
That
seems like a bad idea.
How much you got on you?
I guess.
That's what I would ask.
Because they don't do it if you're really drunk, right? They won't do it?
Usually they won't, no.
Yeah.
Depends on the parlor and the artist,
yeah, true.
I suppose.
Right.
Ray Liotta, film star and TV star, had a rough weekend as well.
Him too?
Got popped Saturday night for DUI by the LAPD. Cops claim he was driving his Cadillac Escalade and hit two parked cars.
Oh, no.
One he hit so hard it ended up on the curb.
Wow.
He was released Sunday on $15,000 in bail. TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website of record, says that the substance he was under was allegedly not alcohol.
Really?
So I don't know what he could have been hopped up on that caused you to cream two parked cars, but Ray Liotta not having a great weekend. And Jennifer Love Hewitt. Apparently not having a great weekend.
Why? What happened to her?
She's happy to have some success because of her show, The Ghost Whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
But she says she has to deal with some nuts sometimes because of it. Apparently, over the weekend, she was approached by a woman who came up to her and said how she loves her show, The Ghost Whisperer, and how she and her husband watch the show every Friday night. She says she makes her husband's favorite meal, and the two hold hands as they watch the show. It wasn't until about 10 minutes in the conversation that Jennifer Love Hewitt realized the woman's husband was dead.
Yeah!
She was talking about it.
That's awesome.
Made the conversation a little more awkward. She didn't know whether it was a spirit she was holding hands with, or maybe there was a corpse on the couch. Who knows?
Those people approach me. I love them.
I know you do. Shane Gibson, Bahamian immigration minister, he had a rough weekend.
Yeah.
He had to resign over those photos with him in bed with Anna Nicole Smith. Although the pictures showed the pair fully clothed and were apparently taken in fun, the shots were embarrassing enough that people started to claim that Gibson greased Anna Nicole's request for residency through immigration.
That's what she said! Or she greased his.
Yeah. In a speech on speech to the Bahamian people Sunday night, he apologized. He swore he did not have a sexual relationship with Anna Nicole Smith.
Right.
And he said that he did not abuse his power as immigration minister, yet it seemed appropriate for him to step down nonetheless.
He ended his speech by saying,
Anna! Is that how he ended it?
That was it.
It's Tuesday. That means there's new DVDs in stores today. If you want to catch up on some of the Oscar nominees before the award ceremony rolls around, Babel is available today on DVD. You can check that out. Also, Flushed Away the animated thing with Hugh Jackman about the mouse who gets flushed into the sewer.
I barely remember that.
You don't remember that? That's available today as well. As is Open Water 2.
Open Water 2?
Yes, you can catch that.
That's a sequel to Open Water.
Yes, exactly.
Did it ever? Was it ever in the theater?
No, I don't
believe
think
it was.
Straight
to DVD. Directed DVD.
That's what they do with the best movies, is go right to DVD.
TV DVDs also released today. Family Ties with Michael J. Fox. Yeah. Season 1 of that show finally available on DVD. You can pick that up. And a TV show called Alias Smith and Jones, a western from the 70s based on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Good show, also available. Season 1, also available today.
So Alias Smith and Jones out on DVD. Batman not.
That's what I'm telling you.
Alias Smith and Jones.
However, Adam West did guest star one of the episodes, so I'll be picking up that box set. So
never heard of that show.
Over and over again.
I did.
Alias Smith and Jones.
I remember watching it.
Yeah.
Oh,
God, no.
Ben Murphy and Pete Duell.
Yep.
I've never heard of any of those people.
I liked
people.
Ben Murphy.
Oh, who did?
Name of the show, none of it.
Come on.
None of it.
Come on, Kevin. Not a single word.
Blanking out again.
So you know the word television. You
yes.
With the box we're talking
that
about.
I recognize. Yes.
The Police Reunion Show, their dates for Los Angeles go on sale today.
Oh, really?
Just want to give you a heads up if you're looking to buy those.
Where are they playing?
You know?
L.A.?
Staples?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to
say. Sounds sketchy, Ralph.
No, he sounds sure.
That's 100% guessing right there. I have no idea where they're playing.
I imagine you could find out at Ticketmaster.
I'm sure you could. Yeah. But I just want to let you know, if you're interested, probably 10 o'clock today, you can go on Ticketmaster and pick up your tickets. The Canadian tour date sold out in minutes, by the way. Toronto and Vancouver shows, boom, just sold out in minutes over the weekend. So you might want to get a jump on.
I know you're not excited, but you're going to have to take your wife to see the Police. You know that, right?
She really wants to, yeah, but I could not. I'll bring my iPod.
Does she like the Sting?
she loves the Sting, and she loves the Police. Yeah, she likes
it. Well, there
you
go.
Yeah.
And the top 10 ugliest divorces in Hollywood. Ooh. List was released by In Touch magazine this week, and I thought it was pretty entertaining. Here they are from least nasty to most nasty. Okay. Number 10, Pamela Anderson, Kid Rock. Just medium nasty, according to In Touch magazine.
Okay.
Shannon Mochler and Travis Barker. It was number 9.
Yeah.
That was a little icky.
They were the battle of the MySpace pages.
Yeah. Right. Number 8, Christy Brinkley and Peter Cook.
Oh, I don't know about this.
But this was the one he was banging the 18-year-old girl who was working as an intern at his architectural office, remember? Yeah. And she found out about
it. Nice.
That one seemed pretty clean, though, because she found out about it and she just never spoke with him again.
Yeah, but it was messy in the press.
Yeah, I imagine.
Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin have a legendarily
contentious
divorce.
It's still ongoing because of the child
Yeah, they've
custody.
Been divorcing for 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela Bach and David Hasselhoff. There's a lot of mudslinging in that one about drinking and mental illness and physical abuse.
Sure.
Good times. Of course, Britney Spears and Kevin Federline are fifth on our list. Dita Von Teese and Marilyn Manson are fourth on the list. Remember when we tried to get Dita to track down Marilyn? We were looking for him all over Los Angeles?
Yeah.
We spotted him. We caught him.
Lister across the street from him.
Then he got away. Halle Berry and Eric Benet.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Remember, Eric claimed he was a sexaholic. Couldn't help himself.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Many, many affairs he had on Halle Berry.
That's right.
Sarah Evans and Craig Schlesky.
I don't know that one.
That was a funny one.
Sarah Evans was the country broad who was on that Dancing with the Stars show, and she found out that old man was posting himself up on Craigslist looking for sex partners.
How can that come back
she
and bite
you in
the ass?
That. And number one, how appropriate.
Number one
is the same number of legs she has. Yes. Heather Mills and Paul McCartney with the top 10 nastiest divorces in Hollywood from In Touch magazine. Thank you, In Touch, for that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anthony Head. He played Giles on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's also in Little Britain, a great show called Man-Child over there on the BBC, 53 years old today. Joel Hodgson, one of my favorites. He was Joel Robinson on Mystery Science Theater 3000, the original host of that show and creator, 47 years old today. Lily Taylor, one of our favorite actresses. She's 40 years old today.
She was on 6 Feet Under. Wasn't she the one who ended up being married to Peter Krause?
That's right. Mm. Speaking of 6 Feet Under, Lauren Ambrose, who played Claire on that show, also celebrates her birthday. She's 29. Rihanna's 19 years old today. And Cindy Crawford, who's still just top-notch, just right up there. She celebrates her 41st birthday today.
Dude.
And boy, can she eat a candy cane. Yeah. Laugh.
It's shrinking.
Oh, don't say that.
Why is that so great? And we know she's just eating a candy cane.
I don't know. It just is.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay. I gotta go take care of some business. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Black Snake Moan is the name of the film. You know, that's one of those titles when they make the porn remake, they can keep the same title.
That's true.
It opens up 1 week from Friday, March the 2nd, with Samuel L. Jackson singing the blues. Also, our pal Christina Ricci, Justin Timberlake in the movie, too. And I think Christina on the phone with us right now, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Christina.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I've been pretty good.
Good. Glad to hear it. You know, I saw this Black Snake Moan. I had not heard anything about it. It was one of those that kind of surprised me. I was in a theater seeing another movie like a month ago, and the trailer came on. And I thought, they ripped off my idea. I have been planning on chaining you to the radiator in my house for like years, and now they're making a movie about it.
I don't want to scare you, Christina, but Bean does have a portrait of you in his bathroom.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
Does that scare you?
No, it
should.
It doesn't scare Christina because she knows the artist, Mark Ryden, who has painted her many times.
That's not scary at all.
All right.
Yeah, I've got the Christina one.
In his bathroom, Christina.
That's kind of cool.
Okay.
I've always wanted to ask, and I know there are people who are familiar with that artist because he's very popular, but how did he become obsessed with you to the point where he paints you all the time? How did that happen, Christina?
I honestly don't know. I know that the picture that he has in his studio that I guess he paints from, as a reference for my face, it's from my first magazine cover when I was like 12 years old. So I think it's been a really long time. And what's actually really interesting is that he paints me and Abraham Lincoln together a lot.
What?
And
yeah.
Abraham Lincoln and I are born on the same day. And when I met him, I was like, that's so funny. Do you have a thing with February 12th? Or did you start painting me because of Abraham Lincoln? Or, vice versa? And he was like, no, you guys are born on the same day. That's so weird.
What in God's name?
Coincidence.
He paints really both strange. Of you in the same paintings.
Yeah. And I'm obsessed with Abraham Lincoln, too. So I was like, wow, pretty cool.
That is weird. And he also paints a lot of meat around you, too. And I don't know what that's all about, but
you're sitting
on a big steak or something.
I used to be a hardcore meat eater. I used to always joke that I had the cruelty-intensive diet.
No longer, Christina?
No longer.
You've come a long way.
I'm a kinder and gentler self these days.
Let's talk about you being chained up all the time while making this movie and virtually naked. It looks like this would have been, unless you have the right mindset, one of the most incredibly challenging and difficult roles you've ever had.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really, the thing that was the most challenging about it was, I'm trying to get into the head of a girl who has survived, just years of sexual abuse as a child, probably daily rape.
Right.
And is now suffering from post-traumatic stress, which really means that she's still experiencing the event emotionally, even though the event happened years and years ago and the abuser's no longer there. So she's sort of taken on the role of abuser because that's the only thing she knows to sort of alleviate the dread and anxiety she would have felt as a child waiting for the abuse to happen.
Now, Samuel Jackson is the guy who finds you laying alongside the road. Describe his character for us. Who's he?
He's a man who, in the beginning of the movie, his wife leaves him with his little brother. He is an angry, angry man. Life has not treated him well. He's an ex-blues musician who sort of gave it all up because he felt guilty, like he was being sinful.
Right.
And became a farmer, in the South. And so he finds my character and takes her inside, and she's all beat up and bloodied from this crazy night out, and I'm in my underwear. And
we saw.
So he takes me inside and chains me to the radiator, but only because he's trying to heal me, and I've got kind of pneumonia, and I'm feverish, and I keep having these weird fever dreams where I run out of the house, and he can't keep me in one place. So he chains me to the radiator so that he can keep me from running away because he doesn't want me to run off and die somewhere in the woods.
Here's a clip of him explaining to you in the movie what's going on.
Found you out by the side of the road. Looked like somebody took the beating on you pretty bad. You know who done that to you?
Where's Ronnie?
I don't know who that is.
No, wait. He left. Guess I best be on my way.
Well, I think we need to talk some.
No, sir. I gotta be on my way.
Best get your wits about you before you get I want to tell you about that.
Why you got me chained?
Yeah,
good question.
By the way, nice accent, Christina. That sounds very authentic.
Yeah, actually, even my boyfriend came home from seeing it, and he was like, wow, your accent was really good. I kind of thought it wasn't going to be so good at points.
you
can be the
that honest, it must be good.
From time to time, we ask this question because even though you're, you know, you've done, I don't know, 25 movies or maybe more at this point, and you've worked with some of the big stars in Hollywood, when you're showing up for the first day at work against Samuel L. Mother Effin' Jackson, yeah. I can't imagine there's anybody out there who doesn't think, oh my God, that's Samuel L. Mother Effin' Jackson.
Yeah, no, I have been a huge fan of Sam Jackson. I basically wanted to be him when I was 14 years old. So to work with him was incredibly intimidating. But, you know, we found out pretty quickly in rehearsals that we both, you know, sort of work similarly and could really trust each other. And, I mean, I love him. I would come to him with problems all the time and seek his advice, and he would, like, set things straight for me and take care of things for me.
Wow.
And I love him so much. And now we, like, text each other messages, and, like, he'll send me little notes from wherever he is, because he's constantly working. He's constantly all over the world.
So. Yeah, he does, like, 365 movies a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
At some point, you start to see the character when you're acting with him in a scene. You no longer see that's Samuel L. Jackson?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we developed a much closer relationship after the movie was shot, because we were both so deeply in character when we were working.
He sings too in this, right? He sings his own music?
Yeah, he does. He plays a blues guitarist and singer, and he plays a lot of the songs and sings them, and he's got an amazing voice. It's a really cool soundtrack.
I have a clip, in fact, Christina Ricci from Black Snake Moan. This is Samuel L. Jackson.
No, I'm sorry.
You know what? I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button.
That's not it.
South Park. Here we go.
Just like a bird without a feather. You know I'm lost without your love.
He does sound like one of those old blues guys, doesn't he?
Although blues doesn't sound that hard to sing.
A little bit more.
Just like a bird without a feather.
Film comes out 1 week from Friday, March the 2nd, in theaters. Black Snake Moan, it's called. Christina, we always love having you on the show. It's great when you make time to join us.
Thank you, Christina. So and it doesn't bother you that Bean has a picture of you in his bathroom?
No, it's all right.
Bathroom.
As long as there's nothing weird and sticky on it, I'm cool.
Oh! That's what she said. All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
All right.
Bye. Let's talk to Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, I gotta imagine that there's gonna come a time this year that you're gonna have nothing to write about, and right now it's Christmas every minute of every day. Isn't it unbelievable for you right now?
You wanna take a little wager on that one?
Probably not,
well,
right?
It's just,
you don't want Anna and Brittany to both be happening at the same time. It's just,
no,
it's too much.
No, it's an embarrassment, and it's true. It's just, I look, you know, I'm actually like 21, and I look 90 right now.
I'm sure a lot of people, you know, try to stay away from the news. They don't follow it or whatever. Give us the Britney Spears story in kind of a nutshell.
You know, these are actually, both of these stories are serious and desperate and sad. You know, on a level, you can laugh at the fact that Britney Spears shaved her head, but let me give you the backstory on this. Last week, there was an intervention, and she went to Antigua, to Eric Clapton's, the rehab facility that he founded there, at the behest of her family, and she was there for about a half a day. And she said, ain't for me, and checked out and came back to Los Angeles. She has a serious problem, and she needs help.
By the way, Antigua is not close.
Antigua is not close. I mean, they wanted to do this out of the country, under the radar, and they would have been able to do it. But, you know, she comes back on a commercial flight in coach. And, you know, that's not a great thing to do when you're on the down low.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're telling me that somebody got on a plane to come from Antigua to Los Angeles and walked down the aisle and sat down next to Britney Spears. That was his traveling companion for the flight home.
It's even more amazing. What happened was she got to the airport. I think it was an American Airlines flight. And they were pulling the gateway away. And she just started melting down and saying, I got to get to my kids. And so the person who was handling the gateway radioed the pilot and said, Britney Spears is on this... wants to get on the plane, and she just missed it. And they started laughing. They didn't think it was true.
Right.
And they said, no, it's really Britney Spears. So she got in the plane. All the first-class seats were taken. So she went to the very back of the plane, the back row by the bathroom, and she sat there.
Wow.
How about
that's
that?
Amazing.
Now, when you say rehab wasn't for her, because they didn't allow her to drink, is that why?
They, I, you know, I think she just realized that this was going to be work, and she did not want to do it.
So she flew all the way back to Southern California,
right.
And tell us about the hair salon. What happened with that?
She went in the hair salon, and she said, look, I want my head shaved. And she seemed really desperate to them. And the woman said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it.
I've never heard of somebody turning down a haircut before.
Well, she's acting crazy.
Doesn't matter. It seems like, you cut hair, you cut hair.
If I had to give an award to the good citizen of the week, I would have done it for that woman, because you're right. But she just didn't think it was the right thing to do. And Brittany grabbed the shears and did it herself. And, and she's really in desperate straits right now and needs help. And, I'm not trying to act like Dr. Phil either. I mean, I'm not psychoanalyzing her, but from everything I'm hearing from everybody that I talk to, this is a bad situation.
Yeah. Harvey, we said the same thing first thing when we came in this morning, is exactly what you said, is you can laugh about it because of how crazy it is, but the way she's going, she looks like a woman who's going to be dead in a year. I mean, she looks like she's about a year behind Anna Nicole Smith, and it's tragic because she's, like 25 years old. So she goes home after getting the haircut. Well, first she goes and gets a bunch of tattoos.
Right.
I guess she gets some on her wrist and then some on her belly or something. Then she goes home. Then what happens? She gets back in the car a couple hours later, like in the middle of the night, and goes to Cedars-Sinai? What's that all about?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I've heard the report. I can't confirm it. But if she did go, she didn't stay. I'm not sure what that was about. But, again, there's an underlying fundamental problem that she's got that goes way beyond moment to moment, and that everybody says she's got to deal with.
It also says in your report that, I guess it was the New York Daily News reported that she was at the Roxy on Sunday night.
And no, we were there. I mean,
you were there, okay.
Absolutely. And she was wearing a blonde wig. And so it's like, you got to wonder, why then did you go ahead and shave your head?
Wow.
Yeah, if you're going to wear a wig. What's going on with her and her mom? Is her mom involved in her life at all anymore? Because this seems like the point where a responsible parent would chain you to the radiator.
Well, the problem is you can't do it when they're an adult.
Yeah,
and she's
right.
never listened to anybody. That's one of her problems. She's just never, that's why she ended up doing the Today Show with Matt Lauer, chewing gum and looking the way she did.
Right,
she just doesn't
right.
listen to anybody. And she's apparently, everybody says she's a really nice person, but she doesn't listen. And her mom really has tried to get involved. And I'm hearing her mom is really involved with the two kids right now.
Right.
But, Kevin Federline is starting to really look like the stable one here.
Who exactly. could have ever predicted that in a billion years?
I know.
Can I tell you something? I have heard this from people who are involved in their world and the separation and the whole thing. I've taken enough shots at the guy. I'm hearing he's a pretty nice guy.
Oh, I'm sure he is, but he's a douche. You know what I mean?
Harvey, last question on Brittany, and then we want to talk about this amazing new Anna video that you have on TMZ.com. My last question about Brittany, and everybody's doing the armchair quarterbacking, is it, does it look to you from the experts that you've talked to or heard from that it looks like just a meltdown, depression based on having a divorce and having two kids in a very short period of time and your life just spinning out of control? I mean, should she be in a hospital right now?
Well, it's not looking like that's the fundamental problem here. This is not just a depression problem. It goes beyond that, from what I hear. And, it is serious, and she needs help.
Okay.
And in fairness, I don't want to get really specific about, what I'm hearing, but it's clearly beyond just that she's depressed.
So it's
she's the one that filed.
It's allegedly an abuse problem.
Some kind, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Anna Nicole Smith and the video that's up at TMZ right now.
It's unbelievable.
This is Howard K. Stern, who is the most hateable man on the planet.
Truly, yeah.
And I have some audio from it. Explain to the listeners what they're going to listen to.
Okay, this is breathtaking. She was 8 months pregnant. I never say somebody is stoned, because you just never know.
Right.
She is stoned out of her mind. If you look at this video, she is barely functioning. And she's in the living room in the Bahamas, and she's pushing a baby stroller with a doll inside, and she thinks the doll is really a baby.
Ugh.
Completely out of it.
But at least she has her face painted as a clown.
And she has her face painted as a clown by another child. She allowed another child to paint her face. And Howard K. Stern is videotaping this. I will stop, and then you can play it, and I'll give you the punchline.
Here you go.
Anna, look at me. Riley thinks you've absolutely lost your mind.
Huh?
Riley thinks you've lost your mind. Is this a mushroom trip?
Huh?
Is this a mushroom trip? Is this a mushroom trip?
What do you mean?
I'm kidding.
What does that mean?
I'm kidding.
What does that mean?
God.
What it means is Howard K. Stern is holding a video camera, pointing it at her, and she's completely lost her mind, and he's asking her, goading her, to know if it's a mushroom trip that she's on. And why do you think Howard K. Stern is chronicling this on video?
Because of what he says at the end of it?
Yep.
This is going to be worth some money.
This is going to be worth some money.
That's what
that
he says.
That is disgusting.
Who he says is the mother of his child, watching her stoned out of her mind, 8 months pregnant,
yeah.
And this is going to be worth some money.
Wow.
Yeah. You can see the video at TMZ.com. It's, wow.
Loathsome.
Yeah, I hated him before. I don't know how you can hate him more, but.
It's funny, though. Even Anna with the clown makeup, her face looks better than Greta Van Susteren, who played this video on the Fox News Network. It's really remarkable when you look at it that way.
Can I tell you something? And this is something I'm working on, but yeah. I know it exists.
Sure.
As bad as that video is, there is something that's worse.
Oh, no, of her?
Oh, Harvey.
No, there is as to Howard K. Stern, there is something that is... Yeah, you can't imagine a human being would do it.
When will you have that information?
I'm trying today. I'm trying.
Okay. All right.
Oh, we want to
Harvey,
know.
Like you said, it's an embarrassment of, I don't know whether we call it riches or not.
An
but thank God,
of tragedies.
Yeah,
thank God you're out there to chronicle it 24/7 at TMZ.com. Harvey the Hammer Levin, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us, Harvey.
Bye, guys.
Thanks,
bye.
It was quite a weekend in Vegas. The NBA All-Star game was there, and so a lot of other people went. Dave, the King of Mexico, and Omar, DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
Also in Las Vegas, our friend Bald Brad was there. He was running an event or two. Bald Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me about the boys.
Unreal. Where do you want me to start? I'll start when they got there.
All okay.
Right.
All right.
I'm doing this private event for big, huge celebrity private event for Dwayne Wade for T-Mobile sidekick release party for his limited edition sidekick. I got Nas, Ludacris, Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas. They get there.
Brad is a promoter, just to explain to everybody. They call him and they say, we want to do a big party, and he brings the entertainment and the whole deal.
And you guys were in Las Vegas because the NBA All-Star game was there, right?
Yeah, we were there. So Omar's all jazzed because DJ AM's going to play, so he goes, hey, can I come out? Those guys drive 4.5 hours. Of course, they don't fly. They drive.
Right.
And I don't know what they were doing on the way. So I get them into the party. They're chilling. They're having a good time. When all the, you know, Nas and Ludacris and those guys are done playing, DJ AM goes up to start spinning. Well, I go, that'd be cool. I know Omar loves, you know, DJ AM. He's a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
They come up and they chill on stage. And this is a big stage just with AM and these two guys on it.
Yeah. So Brad brings you guys on stage.
Yeah, we're right behind DJ AM.
Did you know this was a bad idea at the time, Brad?
No, I'm an idiot. You guys... So, you know, I mean, we're sitting there, you know, they're on stage with him. You know, Omar couldn't be happier. He's already drunk or whatever the hell he is. Peyote. And, you know, and he's just having the time of his life. Dave's just, you know, Dave's having a good time. But then they give him a sidekick, a free sidekick. And now Dave's as happy as Omar.
Yeah, and I'm sure here's what was happening. Everybody was partying, and Omar was probably dancing, and Dave was probably two-waying.
Oh, no, dude. I was charging my sidekick on stage right behind DJ AM. I couldn't wait to get it going.
He's so got it right
I
now.
I pulled it out of the box and plugged it in and started charging it. I wanted to switch it right there.
In the middle of the party.
Dave knows that.
Why? The middle of the party.
Why in the middle of the party? Why not wait till later?
Because I wanted it now.
He's
dude.
Got
I wanted
a text.
You don't realize.
He wanted to text people that Ludacris and Nas were on stage, Kevin.
You don't realize. This is not even out yet. And I wanted to be the guy with it walking around the party going,
it's not
going to
help
it.
You.
I got it.
And it's not charged.
It's not charged. Yeah.
I'll be the guy. All right, so after me just dialing these guys in with drinks for 2 hours, champagne, vodka, we all decide I'm going to leave. I have to leave with Ludacris. And I go, meet me at the Hard Rock. Paris Hilton's birthday party's there. Meet me there. I'll get you guys in with Ludacris.
Okay.
No problem, right?
Nice.
You know, they're supposed to meet me there. Well, there's so much security. It's so melee that I can't find the guys. I'm like, all right, I'll figure it out when I get a hold of them on their new sidekick, whatever. So Omar and Dave, they walk to the front of the line, I guess, and they give out a lightning business card.
Oh, no.
And being business cards. And,
Dave.
And the guy lets them through, so he gets them to the door. You guys take it away from there.
All right. So what happened? You guys go to the cabana, right?
We just go down and hang out and become part of Ludacris'
posse.
Yeah, we're
Ludacris' posse, and, like, you know, they're all, you know, hanging, you know, drink Cristal or, you know, whatever they were doing or whatever. And I how to get my groove on. I had to shake that ass.
No, no, you guys, listen here. Luda's sitting there with his entourage, and this is not a bunch of Boy Scouts he hangs out with, okay?
Right.
We're in this private cabana, and Omar is dancing like we're at a rave. He's just shaking his ass in front of all these big-ass dudes. I'm like,
sometimes
and
you just got to shake it.
Luda's manager looks at me and goes, yo, Brad, what's up with your boy?
Oh, that's not what you want.
You vouched for him.
You don't want to vouch for Omar and then have him shake that ass and get you kicked right out of the posse.
Didn't we talk about this earlier?
So you guys leave and you go to the Rum Jungle. Tell us what happened
now,
there.
Before you get to the Rum Jungle, did you guys ever hang out with Paris Hilton? Did you ever see her, talk to her, anything?
We was hanging out. We saw Jamie Foxx rolled by. I mean, Omar wouldn't have known it. We could have had a nuclear eclipse. He wouldn't have known.
Right, sure. Okay.
So Dave is too late. We go over to Rum Jungle, okay? We're up in the VIP area with all of Luda's posse. We come in the back door. It's all, you know, it's cool in the gang, right? I see Suge Knight. Oh, I'm sorry. My cousin, Bald Brent, sees Suge Knight, walks down there. Goes down, shakes his hand. Suge Knight buys my cousin a drink.
What did he buy you?
My cousin looks just like me, by the way.
What did he buy you?
What's up?
What did he buy you?
Well, he asked me what I wanted. Of course, Kettle One Red Bull.
Okay, and good.
Kevin got me hooked on.
Good man. All right, so you're getting a drink bought for you by Suge Knight.
Yeah. So I go, I didn't want to stay with him for too much longer. Not me, my cousin.
Right.
Remember that.
Sure.
It's not me. I'm not going to court on this. I go back upstairs to the VIP, and I just tell the waitress, bring the drink up to me up there. She brings me the drink. I'm 10 steps into going just back down. They're going to shake his hand and thank him for the drink. He sets down his cigar, his drink, walks over to some dude 8 steps away, and just unloads on him, and the place turns into bedlam.
Oh, my God. He punches him in the face?
I mean, punches flying everywhere. Of course, Omar, I go, dude, Suge Knight just started a... Or I'm sorry, my cousin said Suge Knight just started a big fight. So... I'm like, let's get out of here. Omar goes running down the stairs like he's going to get in it.
I just wanted to see what was going on. Yeah. Dude.
I was trying to look.
Yeah, dude. Because it was so freaking loud in there, and I just wanted to go take a
DJ Omar Khan.
All right, so you have to grab him. You guys run out the back door.
We go out the back door. The whole crew. I get Luda's people into their car. We have no car because all the limos are in the front. So we're like, oh, my God, what do I do? I stop some random dude in a pickup truck.
Right.
So me and Omar and the dude are in the truck. We don't have enough room for 4 guys. Dave goes, no problem, man. Jumps in the back of the truck.
Sure, he's used to that.
My Mexican instincts took over. Dude,
just hopped in the back and then you dropped him off at the Home Depot, right?
Now, remember, I offered the guy $100 to take us because I just wanted to get out of there before whatever was going to happen
right.
Outside the club.
Did you? We're running out of time, Brad, so I'm just going to hit some other highlights. Did you commandeer a cab on the street, get stopped by the cops, and get kicked out?
Well, yeah, that was another dude. Yeah, we stopped. I flagged down a cab. I get the cab, Omar and Dave jump in, and this cop, like, 2 cops, like, surround us. And we know what you're doing. Get out of the cab. We're like, dude, calm down. It's just melee.
Did you throw Luda's name around?
No.
Ludicrous posse, man.
Okay, and since we're out of time, I just want to ask one last question, and was Omar shouting in the middle of the MGM Grand, Brad, I love you so much, I want to blank your blank and only your blank?
At least 15 times.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
I found that so funny, dude.
DJ Omar Khan.
That was awesome.
And this was at 5 a.m. before you finally ditched them.
This was like at 7.
6, 7.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Good times right there.
That was awesome.
Oh, the best.
How was the game, guys?
I didn't make it.
What?
I didn't make it.
Omar?
Who?
Dave?
There was a game?
NBA All-Star game?
I don't know. After that, I shaved my head, got some tattoos. I don't know what's going on.
Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
President's Day weekend, not traditionally a huge box office weekend. Well, that all changed the past 4 days. Ghost Rider, huge hit at the box office over the 4-day weekend. From Monday to Friday, or Friday to Monday, rather, it made $51.5 million.
We were in the office on Friday guessing how much it was going to make. What did we say, 15? And everybody was like, no way.
Yeah, I thought if it reached close to 20, it would be a big, big success for them.
51.
That's what it made.
Wow.
Of course, based on the
more, right?
Marvel comic book superhero about the motorcycle stunt driver who moonlights as a collector of evil souls for the devil. Well, you can see why people got on board. Bridge to Terabithia was $29 million number 2 slot holder. Norbit was number 3 with 20.
Iron Man, Adam. Hey.
$20.7 million. Music and lyrics. The new Hugh Grant movie was fourth with $16 million. Then Tyler Perry's Daddy's Little Girls, five out of top 10. Breach was six. Hannibal Rising was seven. Because I Said So was eight. Night at the Museum was nine. Oh, I'm sorry, Museum?
Yes.
And 10 was The Messengers at the box office over the long weekend. Today's Tuesday. New DVDs are in stores. Babel is available today if you want to check that out. And Flushed Away, the kid movie about the mouse who gets flushed down the toilet. I'd like to think when my parents flushed my pet mouse down the toilet, he went to a magical adventure land, too, where he made friends with snails and toads.
I'm sure he did, Ralph.
But I'm guessing that's not what happened. No. I think they lied to me. By the way, earlier today I mentioned that the police tickets went on sale for the L.A. dates.
Right.
It's just Colorado, Boston, and New York City. I misspoke. So
the L.A. dates are not up
everyone
yet.
Everyone is furiously going on Ticketmaster trying to find the dates for L.A., but they're not up yet. So I apologize. I'll give you the heads up as soon as I know the real scoop.
Email Ralph as soon as you find something out about that.
Not so much.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Don't call me. I'll call you. Lindsay Lohan, wasting no time after being released from rehab to go back to her hard partying lifestyle. She was released on Friday from a 30-day stint at the Wonderland Center in Hollywood Hills. But she was out Thursday night, the night before she was released, partying in a nightclub called Teddy's. And then Friday night after she was released, she was at a nightclub called Ledoux.
Celebrating her sobriety?
She was bookending her last day of rehab with just partying, partying, partying.
Can you go out and drink if you succeed 30 days in rehab? I mean, is that how traditionally
Yeah, they say 30 days, good work.
30 on, 30 off. Isn't that how it works?
Then you drink hard for 30 days.
Right, and then you stop again. Right. It's a cleansing program. Bridget Moynihan is now a single mom-to-be. She had a 3-year-long relationship with the robot who plays quarterback for the New England Patriots, Tom Brady. And they just broke up their relationship at the end of last year. And now she's saying that she is pregnant with Tom Brady's child.
Yeah.
That's bad timing. For 3 years, they managed not to get pregnant. For 3 years, she managed not to get knocked up. And when he leaves, that's when all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
I think not.
Is Howard K. Stern claiming to be the father?
Not in this particular case. Although, if I was going to start claiming to be a baby's daddy, this is the one I'd pick over on Nicole Smith. I'd be coming out of the woodwork, too.
No kidding.
Yeah, he has no comment because he's busy in Paris with his supermodel girlfriend, Gisele Bündchen.
Oh,
so we have no response from Tom Brady regarding the pregnancy yet.
It's good to be him, huh?
Sure is. Cheer, Rocky had a rough weekend.
No.
Sylvester Stallone was detained for several hours at the Sydney airport on Friday in Australia. Because of curious prohibited items they found in his luggage.
Really?
What do you make of that, Ralph?
What are curious prohibited items?
Well, I've got some inside info.
Yes.
And according to my inside info.
You have a source?
It was various and sundried pharmaceuticals like GHB, human growth hormone.
Oh.
Testosterone replacement therapies. That sort of thing.
Legal stuff or illegal stuff?
Well, I think that's still being investigated. Because some of the stuff you can get from a doctor, like the testosterone replacement therapy, when you get a certain age, you start replacing your natural testosterone so you can keep your body shape and your musculature and that kind of stuff. And some of the stuff, like the growth hormones and things like that, is available from other sources, let's say. Psychomite. So you'd have
Mike's people.
You'd have to... You'd have to really know what was going on to know how much was legal and how much wasn't.
They told him to open his bag, and he said,
"You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners."
That's right, and he punched him. You want to fight the fight? I'll fight the stink fight. Good times. And bad news for Heather Mills.
Yeah.
PETA has dumped her. PETA says they no longer want to work with Heather Mills.
Wow.
Apparently the reason is that Mary McCartney, daughter of Heather's soon-to-be ex, Paul McCartney, is a director, and they asked her to shoot an ad campaign for PETA. She said she'd be happy to do it as long as the organization severed all ties with Heather Mills and no longer worked with her.
Oh, wow.
They probably couldn't have said done fast enough.
Yeah.
I guess they felt like they got the maximum exposure out of her when she was married to Paul McCartney, and now she's not going to be attracting press every time she goes and points out the baby seals or whatever.
It's probably true. In response, an angry Heather said she's going to make her next fake leg completely out of fur. And wear a big furry leg.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That seems a little angry.
It does. That seems like a wild,
Eddie really
wild way to go. Reaction, I think, to just not working with some people. Today's celebrity birthdays. It's too late, folks. I know I did tease. We'll get to the top 10 nastiest divorces in Hollywood. We'll do that in the next hour because we just don't have any more time.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Lily Taylor. very talented actress. She was in High Fidelity. She was great in that. She's been in a bunch of great films. She is 40 years old today. She was also on 6 Feet Under, which co-starred Lauren Ambrose, who also celebrates her birthday, turns 29 years old today. Rihanna is 19 years old today. Joel Hodgson, who played Joel Robinson on Mystery Science Theater, he was the creator and host of that TV show, 47 years old today. Anthony Head, you know him as Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he's 53 years old today. And Cindy Crawford, one of our favorites around here. Cindy, please. Mm. Oh, you don't... Honey, I'm on the air. Why is there a microphone in my pants anyway? That's what I want.
That's so hot.
It's shrinking.
Oh, because Kevin's looking at us.
Is that what you want?
Cindy's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jason Ward, right side. Ward with Kopitar. Gets it to Kopitar. In deep, Kopitar. Wrap around. Wade shoots. He scores! There's the patience of the rookie. Kopitar behind the net. Came in front. Waited and waited and then put it upstairs. Here's Kopitar moving in with Wilson. Kopitar shoots. He scores! What a move! Here's a shot and a save and a rebound. Here's Kopitar shooting. He scores!
Just wanted to know how to say it for real. Anže Kopitar.
He's showing off is what's going on there. It's 8:15 on the Kevin and Bean Show, number 11 for your Los Angeles Kings, but number one in your heart, ladies and gentlemen. Anže Kopitar on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Anže, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
You gotta slow it down, man. You gotta pace yourself. You want to live a long life. You can't do so much so fast and make the rest of us look this bad.
Well, you know what? I'm just trying my best, and right now it's going pretty good. So I'll just try to keep on going.
Anže is the only person from Slovenia to ever be drafted in the NHL.
Wow!
And he's 19. You're 19 still, right?
Yeah, I still am 19.
19 years old.
That's ridiculous.
19.
Yeah. How much hockey did you play in Europe, Anže, before you came to America?
I started playing when I was 4. And then I was just keep on going and going. And, last 2 years I played in Sweden, and now I'm here.
Did you dream of or think you would one day play in the NHL, or did you never think of it?
Yeah, that was my dream, obviously. That's probably everybody's dream, and, I didn't really, believe it that I'm going to make it once, but then everything started to move in the right way, and then I started to believe it, too, and... Like I said, I'm really happy to be here right now.
You have a younger brother who also plays hockey, right?
Yeah.
You ever call him and go, NHL, mother effer, NHL.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm here in the NHL. Okay, get back to you. Got a game. NHL.
Listen to Anže Kopitar on the phone from the Kings. Listen to this from yesterday's Los Angeles Times. There will come a day this season when the Kings' Anže Kopitar resembles a rookie. Maybe. That has yet to happen through 62 games as the 19-year-old continues to impress teammates and opponents. It's pretty to watch, said the Ducks' Timo Solani. If someone told me to go play in the NHL when I was 19, I would have said, no way. He plays like a 10-year veteran. I guess my question for you, Anže, is was there any part of you that thought, wow, I really would like to get a little bit more of experience before I attempt this? Did you worry that it might be too soon for you to come?
Yeah, I did a little bit in the beginning, but obviously my start was pretty good, and then my confidence went up, and I just played and I had fun and I worked hard, and I guess that just came up with all that, and having fun on the ice, and I think that's what mattered the most.
We were talking on Friday about the Kings Ducks this weekend, and Saturday you guys tied and went into a shootout and lost by a goal, and Sunday you tied and went into a shootout and won the game. Is that really depressing when you go all the way, you're tied, you get all the way to the shootout, and then you end up losing? Like more than a normal loss or no?
Yeah, it is a little bit more depressing, yeah. But, we still get a point out of the game, so that's a little better. But, you work so hard for 65 minutes, and then you just lose in shootout. It's, it's kind of hard, but that's how the way is going. And maybe it's a little more sweet when you win in the shootout.
Is it a lot of pressure to be... Is it a lot of pressure to be in the shootout because everybody's on the side? There's just the goalie and you and the whole crowd is watching. Is it more?
If I was myself, I just trust myself, go in there and do the things that I think will work. And if it works, works. If it not, hopefully work next time.
Ajay, what do you think of living in Southern California? And is it very, very different from the other places you've lived?
Yeah, it is different. Obviously, a lot of difference from Slovenia. Everything's so much bigger. And, you know, different from Sweden, too. It was way colder in Sweden, so I'm really enjoying it here in the Los Angeles weather.
What do you know about the graffiti that's going on all over Southern California with your, with you? Is that you out there with a paint can, or what's going on, Ajay?
No, that's not me. I don't know what that is, actually. I just saw it on the internet, a couple of pictures of that, but I don't know if... where is that going on, or is that really true or something?
I have no idea. I've seen what you've seen.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were out there, like, in the middle of the night with a ski mask, you know?
Last question for Mr. Kopitar, and again, the Kings are in town for two games coming up this week, by the way, including Thursday night versus Vancouver at Staples, and then Saturday, Kevin, that's the game that you and the K-Rock listeners are going to watch from the suite against the Colorado Avalanche.
Yep.
So two games coming up this week that you can still go see. How about the women in Sweden, Ajay, versus the women in Southern California? What's your preference? And be very careful.
Oh, that's a tough one. Maybe the women in Los Angeles dress up a little better than women in Sweden, but I can say they're both pretty.
Yeah.
But once you get their clothes off, the Swedish chicks win.
I don't know.
Ajay's going to need a bigger sample size. He's going to need a little more experience before he can say.
Right. He's only been here a season. Give him a few years to kind of break in, and then he'll have an opinion. Right. Well, it's always exciting when there's a new star in any sport. It's always fun to watch them come and adapt and adjust, and it's been a joy to watch you, Ajay. Obviously, hockey fans in Southern California would like to see a little better season for the Los Angeles Kings, but with you bringing in young guys like you, it makes you look forward to next year. I mean, it's it's an ongoing process, as we all know.
Yeah, I know. Our season was not really good this year, but still got to work hard and try to put on some wins this year, and then hopefully next year we're gonna start off better than this year. We have a lot of good young players, so I think the future is pretty bright for us.
All right, Thursday night, Saturday night, you can still get tickets for the Los Angeles Kings. Ajay Kopitar, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Best of luck, man.
First, though, the big surprise at the cinema box office for 2007 has got to be this Ghost Rider movie, a movie that they didn't even screen for critics because they knew people would make fun of it if they saw it.
Yeah.
So they just released it out there to the theater for the tune of over $50 million for the weekend. We've got the star of the film, Academy Award winner, Nicolas Cage, on the line with us right now. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. You must be great.
I couldn't be more excited, really. Really happy the way the film turned out. And I didn't imagine we'd have this kind of response from people.
No, certainly not. I mean, of course, it's a popular comic book that's been around for a long time. We knew there'd be a certain built-in fan base. But if you're pulling down $50 million, you're getting all kinds of people in the theater.
This is my biggest opening weekend since National Treasure.
Oh, National Treasure,
really?
Sure.
Yeah, where I was more of a treasure protector.
Sure, yeah. Now, Nick, for folks who maybe haven't been paying attention, what's the story of the Ghost Rider? Who is this Ghost Rider that you play?
Johnny Blaze is a motorcycle stuntman, and he makes a deal with the devil. Mephistopheles, played by Peter Fonda, and I become a flaming skulled collector of souls for the devil.
So you ride around on your motorcycle with a flaming skull and collect souls.
Sure.
$51 million.
How do you like me now?
That is
impressive. It's my $50 million ass.
Wow.
I can't believe it myself.
Yeah?
And, hold on a second. Sorry.
What's happening?
Sorry, my head burst into flames.
Does that just happen whenever?
Wow.
Well, I'm a method actor.
Oh, I see.
So I have had acetylene torches actually built into my skull.
Wow.
For the film. And now, unfortunately, I'm stuck with a flaming head.
They don't have special effects people to do that?
Turns out they do.
Hmm.
Turns out I wish someone had told me that before I actually had this installed. But I do have lighter fluid and torches in my head.
So every once in a while your head just lights on fire?
Periodically,
it just
goes on, sort of a flaw, defect in the, in the equipment.
Do you also collect souls?
No.
That's ridiculous. That's part of the movie.
I'm a soul protector.
Okay.
Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Could someone
there
put
goes
me
again.
Out? Could someone please put this pour a latte on me? Thank you.
Nick,
sorry about
I know
that.
I know you're a big comic book guy. Of course, you famously wanted to play Superman in that big screen movie that just came out, and you named your son Kal-El.
Yeah.
But where does Ghost Rider rank in the pantheon of all comic book heroes?
Well, in a recent survey, out of the top 100 superheroes from comic books, Ghost Rider ended up 804th. So not that big.
Not so big.
No.
Yet you
and
still wanted
worth,
to play
hardly
it.
Worth installing fire mechanics in your skull, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no, oh, no.
Oh, here we go again. Does that hurt?
Oh, you get used to it.
Yeah.
I've learned just to blow it out now.
You could actually blow it out.
Sure.
All right, good.
So, Ralph, a better or worse weekend for you than for Britney Spears?
Better. Much better.
Really?
Yeah.
Who wants to be a superhero good times? Because that sounds like the very definition of hell, hanging out with the people in that line.
You're insane. That was my
really?
Favorite thing of the weekend. Those are my people right there.
This is a sci-fi show that people are supposed to make up their own superhero with the name and the powers and the outfit, the whole deal, and then they compete.
The second season of a reality series on the Sci-Fi Channel, created and hosted by Stan Lee, who created all the Marvel superheroes, and it is regular people who come up with their own superhero ideas who compete in order to win the grand prize of having a comic book and TV movie based on their creation.
So we were thinking, like American Idol in the early days, the people who show up have a lot of gall, and it's really fun to listen to them, and that's, we were figuring that must be pretty spectacular for the show as well.
Some have a better grasp on the concept, I think, than others in terms of what would make a viable superhero. Some people are sort of missing out, I think, on the big picture.
Sure.
So you did run into Maltman then?
No, Maltman was not down there, but I did run into Big Papa.
Big Papa.
And Big Papa was a giant 7-foot-tall white dude who had hair all the way down to his butt.
Just really?
long hair. He was wearing a giant fedora with a feather in it, and he had a cape and a cane, and he was all pimped out. He was totally pimped out.
Okay.
Big white pimp is what he was.
Okay.
And Big Papa had some unique superpowers.
I'm standing here online with the contestants for Who Wants to Be a Superhero Number 2 on the Sci-Fi Channel. And who are you, sir?
I am Big Papa, protector of the people, defender of the downtrodden, and guardian of the ghetto.
That's great. And what are your superpowers?
I have the power to enchant the ladies.
Are there any superpowers in that grill you got working there in your mouth?
Just that when I smile at a lady and she sees the gleam of the light off the grill, she just put it in my hands.
Do you have an arch nemesis, Big Papa? Is there anyone that you fight against the forces of evil?
My arch nemesis is called the barber. Yeah, he's out to cut my hair.
And without your hair, would you lose your powers?
Not sure, but I don't want to risk it.
What kind of power is that? You just could get chicks.
He doesn't fight crime or anything?
Not apparently.
He doesn't get strength from his hair?
No,
even?
He just wows the ladies with his big grill. Guy had a giant just mouthful of gold teeth, uppers and lowers. Just
big white guy.
Big white guy working
Excellent.
The grill. Then I ran into a superhero named Night Shadow, who apparently has a working knowledge of Kevin Bean.
Oh, Night Shadow.
Night Shadow.
Where do I know the name?
I don't know, but he's got some history with you two, and he was sorry that I was there and you guys weren't there.
Who am I with today? The Night Shadow, an old friend of Kevin and Bean's.
Night Shadow's an old friend of Kevin and Bean's?
Right, Bean, that genitalist bastard. They should have been here trying out.
Well, you know, Bean doesn't leave the magic island that he lives on.
Oh, you know, he could have been, Kevin could have been Captain Clueless, and Bean could have been Dickless Boy.
What are your superpowers?
Oh, my superpowers is I'm able to manipulate shadows and make them come alive.
Do you have any weaknesses? Because I know Superman has, like, kryptonite. What would bring down the Night Shadow?
Probably the Armenian comedian. Listen to him.
I think that would destroy most of us.
Yeah.
Night Shadow loved you guys.
Night Shadow.
I have a vague recollection of him coming in on the show. He's a wrestler or something like that many, many years ago.
Wasn't he the quote manager of somebody like Sam or some character that we have?
That's what it was.
He was the manager of somebody. Lightning just stepped in. Lightning, who was he?
Ran a cable TV show on a local cable channel and was friends with the Armenian comedian.
That's what it was. He was the Armenian comedian's manager at one time.
That's it.
Yeah.
He said he remembers you guys from the midget basketball game.
Isn't it funny that at one time he was the Armenian comedian's manager? He's now lower on the showbiz ladder than he was then.
Trying out for the superhero costume. Speaking of costumes, there was this giant dude named Freak Man who was there, who just had a wild shock of hair and a beard, and he was just this massive guy dressed almost entirely in rubber.
Rubber.
And I thought, either this guy's on his way to an S&M sex fetish club, or he's trying out for Who Wants to Be a Superhero. Who am I with today?
You're with Freak Man.
And Freak Man, what are your superpowers?
Well, I'm rubber inside. I use my rubber cape to ball myself up into a ball, and I can bounce myself really high. I have steel-belted gloves.
So you're basically like a big tire.
Yes.
That's really where he derived all his powers from Goodyear, apparently.
What is he? How do you fight crime by bouncing high?
I'm not sure, but bullets bounce under a criminal? Awesome, but that was pretty useful, I thought.
You get under a criminal?
Or on top of one, just bounce on top of him, I guess.
In God's name is he thinking?
I couldn't tie in Freak Man with the whole rubber theme, but hey, it worked for him. I wasn't about to ask any questions.
No, God, no.
Then I ran into Scout. Some of these people take this really seriously, the superhero deal. Mm-hmm. And Scout was a former Eagle Scout.
Oh.
Whose superhero embodied all the pure, noble elements of the Boy Scouts.
Right.
That's who he was. I don't think he appreciated me too much. Who am I with today?
You are with Scout.
Scout. And Scout, what are your superpowers?
Basically, my powers come from a magical spring. And when I drink from that spring, I'm the peak of human ability. I'm super strong, I'm fast, agile, and I can regenerate.
Gotcha. I'm the same way with Jack Daniels. That's where I get my superpowers from. Yeah, he didn't think that was too fun. Not the Boy Scout way.
He drinks from a spring, and then he does everything.
See? Be prepared.
There's nothing that's not his power.
Ralph, if you're making up a superpower, why do all of these people make up things that are just so lame? Why not be invisible? Why not be able to fly? These people can't do anything.
I don't know. There were some lame choices.
The last guy bounced.
My favorite is always the minorities who come out for the Who Wants to Be a Superhero.
How come?
Because there are so few minority superheroes
That
I get a kick out of seeing like black and Latino comic book fans come out and sort of represent, because it doesn't happen very often.
Okay.
So I met Blackjack.
Blackjack.
Who was a brother from Vegas, and he was coming out to represent the African-American superheroes. Who am I with?
You're with Blackjack. I'm Las Vegas's own superhero.
It's true. Batman is in Gotham City. Superman's in Metropolis. I don't know of any superheroes in Vegas.
None at all, but I'm the first and I'm the greatest one there.
Now, Blackjack, what are your superpowers?
Well, what it is fortune always shines on me. You know, probability feels all around. I disrupt everything. Like, if a bad guy has a gun, the gun will jam and I'll knock him out.
You're basically just really super lucky.
I'm very super lucky.
That's his power.
Wow.
He's just lucky.
He disrupts probability fields. That's what he came up with.
Wouldn't you just sit down at a blackjack table if you were blackjack and just win a lot of money and stop fighting crime?
Yeah, why bother fighting crime?
Move out of Vegas, just make a buck.
His name is Blackjack.
He's Blackjack.
Wow, that's a bad power.
And then lastly, my favorite of the entire time I was down there at Universal Studios, the entertainment capital of the world, by the way. I was down there with El Rey.
El Rey.
And El Rey was a Latino gentleman who was a giant luchador. He was just fully decked out in the superhero wrestling costume. But then he also had a giant sombrero on. I mean, he was bringing it. Okay. He was bringing it.
He was representing on every level.
He was representing. And he was my favorite of the day by far. Standing here online with the contestants for Who Wants to Be a Superhero Number 2. And I am with El Rey. El Rey, what are your superpowers?
I have near unlimited super strength. And I also have my freezing minty ice breath, which freezes my enemy and leaves a pleasant aroma of mint in the air.
Sounds great. Now, there doesn't seem to be a lot of Latino superheroes. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know. Can you honestly name one Latino superhero?
No, I can't. I think it's time.
I think it's about that time.
Now, do you have a catchphrase, El Rey?
Yeah. When I appear on the scene, confronting my evildoers, I chill them to the bone with, "Did somebody order Mexican?"
That is pretty ominous. Well, good luck today.
Thank you, sir.
when he shows up.
What?
Did somebody order Mexican? That's his catchphrase.
That's
when he shows up, man.
Yeah. That's not a catchphrase. That isn't a catchphrase.
Dude, imagine a big Mexican dude shows up in the doorway and you're a criminal and he goes, did somebody order Mexican? Wouldn't that scare you if you were a criminal?
Yeah. So he not only freezes people, but he leaves the air minty fresh?
Yeah, it's nice. He's got a nice minty cool breath that he can freeze his enemies, but it smells nice when he's done.
And he doesn't have super strength, guys. He doesn't even have Olympic strength. He has near Olympic strength.
That's right. Well, he hasn't set the bar too high for himself.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Did somebody order Mexican? I love that. I'm going to say that everywhere I go now.
When does this show air? Right now, with all the other showbiz news, here's Ralph Garman. Good morning, Ralph.
But when you're done sleeping, you're supposed to take the Breathe Right strip off, though, right?
That's what I thought.
Well, we don't really have time to get
into
this.
You leave it on all day long and all night long?
I'm going to take a running back all day? 98, right?
Like
I'm going to take it off when I take a shower after the show. I'll pull it off then, and I'll be free of it all day long. But I figure it can't hurt to leave it on longer.
Oh, I see.
If you're trying to open up your nasal passages.
It's a good look, too.
Yeah.
you need to get that black marker and put it on your eyes like a professional athlete.
Sure.
Well.
Sure. Like Reggie Bush. Lindsay Lohan celebrating her 30-day stay in rehab, went out to a nightclub. Well, she was done her stint on Friday.
She's got to be excited about that.
Thursday night, before she was even really officially released, she was at a nightclub called Teddy's. And then Friday night, after she got out, she ended up at a nightclub called Ledoux.
Do they approve of that activity? Or?
What Ledoux, nephew? That's what we said. Well, apparently it's a new kind of rehab. 30 days on, 30 days off.
You know, that isn't good for you.
You dry out and then, boom, you fill up.
I got you.
Okay. So.
Like a sponge, you empty, you fill back up.
So funny, the wife was flipping around the channels. We ran across The Parent Trap this weekend.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh, with her and
Dennis Quaid and a 11-year-old Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. I hope you kept going.
And we looked at her and said, what if she knows that she's just going to be just a drunken whore by the time she's 20? What if she knew that at 11? Yeah.
She was probably the same thing then.
Yeah, probably.
And you know, when she was 11 to about 15 or so, she was young and cute and personable and
filled
looked
with promise.
Could it act? Yeah, she looked like she might have a career.
Yeah.
Now look at her.
Now look at her. She's Britney Spears. Britney Spears shaved her head over the weekend. I'm sure you all have seen the interesting photographs of her looking like Sinead O'Connor.
Now she's wearing a wig everywhere. So
right.
I guess that was a mistake.
Maybe there's some buyer's remorse with that whole haircut thing.
Can't put it back on, can you?
Apparently, after she shaved her head off, she got two new tattoos. And the girls who work at the tattoo parlor say that it was not a pretty sight. After she left, the girls say, we said to each other, we just saw a huge celebrity on the verge of a nervous breakdown. She seemed really distraught, disturbed. She was very scatterbrained. It was crazy, very surreal. She's definitely crying out.
Oh, that was just silly.
Well, I guess she was crying out when they put a black and pink cross on her hip. Oh, I'd cry out, too. And she got a bright pair of red lips on her wrist.
Okay. That means lesbians forever.
You can kiss my wrist, she was thinking.
Generous slices of juicy beef.
What?
I don't know what that was about.
Pick a button. It's just... Ray Liotta.
About the red lips.
Star of the Goodfellas movie. He's been in a bunch of other films, too.
Right.
Not a good weekend for Ray.
What happened?
He got popped Saturday night by the LAPD for DUI. Cops claim he was driving his Cadillac Escalade and hit two, not one, but two parked cars, one of which was creamed so badly it ended up on the curb.
Wow. Wow.
You got to hit a car to move it from the street to the curb.
Yeah.
He was released Sunday morning on $15,000 bail. TMZ.com reports the substance that he was allegedly under was not alcohol.
Wow. Ah.
So it's time to play Guess That Celebrity Drug.
He's lucky he hit a car. Not a person.
Isn't that the truth? And they were parked and didn't have people in
it.
And lastly, In Touch magazine has released in its latest edition the top 10 nastiest divorces in Hollywood. Good times. Here they are from worst to first. Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock come in at number 10. And good for them, too, because that's a pretty recent divorce.
Yeah.
And they managed to crack the top 10. Those kids have star power.
That is good work.
Shannon Mochler and Travis Barker. Number 9 on the list.
The MySpace feud.
Remember that? I found condoms in my house and we don't use condoms.
Yep.
MySpace
yeah.
story. That was good.
Yep.
Christie Brinkley and Peter Cook. Sure, he was banging an 18-year-old behind her back. And he gave that girl a job at his office. But does that make him a bad guy?
If you talk to her, yes.
According to Christie Brinkley, it does.
Basinger. She's so judgmental, he's lucky to get rid of her.
Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin. Number 7 on the list.
They're like the all-time kings and queens.
Yeah, they've been feuding forever,
so,
right?
Yeah.
They've been in the midst of a divorce for, I think, 32 years now. They've been working on it.
Isn't it funny, Lisa? Did you notice on 30 Rock, one of the plot lines is the 20-year divorce that's going on between Alec Baldwin's character and his wife?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Does that involve the guy with the wacky hats? Because he's my favorite. He's got big glasses and mutton chop sideburns, and he wears big funny hats with sayings on them. That's comedy, folks.
Not in that plot line, no.
Oh, I wish he was. He makes everything funnier.
And Scarface not involved either, but...
Huh. Pamela Bach and David Hasselhoff. Now, there's a marriage.
Sure.
He said she was crazy, and she said he was a drunk, and the kids just stood by and wept silently. Britney Spears and Kevin Federline, number 5 on the list. Dita Von Teese and Marilyn Manson, number 4 with a bullet.
Sure.
I think Dita's still trying to find Marilyn to serve him with papers, and he's still on the run. Good times. Halle Berry and Eric Benet.
Yeah.
He claimed he was a sex addict. That's why he had to keep cheating on her. It wasn't his fault.
Nope.
Sarah Evans and Craig Shelsky. She is the country western star who, do they even call it country western anymore? They probably
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just country.
Just country music star who was on
Who Wants
Dance for Your
Dancing
Life.
For a Millionaire.
Dancing with the Stars.
That's right. She had to quit because she found out that he was posting ads on Craigslist looking for threesomes while she was, according to him, banging other country stars on the road.
On Craigslist, good for times. God's sakes.
And number one, of course, as you can imagine, the king and queen of ugly divorces, Heather Mills and Paul McCartney.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
She's number one, which is exactly the number she makes when she stands up. She makes a one.
She does, because she doesn't have both legs.
Kevin, you've crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
Thank you.
Generous slices of juicy beef.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rihanna. The singer is 19 years old today. Lauren Ambrose, you know her as Claire from 6 Feet Under, turns 29. Her co-star from that show, Lily Taylor, also from High Fidelity and a bunch of other great movies. She's 40 years old today. Anthony Stewart Head, you know him as Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Andrew Shue, remember him as Billy Campbell in Melrose Place?
Oh, yeah.
Barely, yeah.
I think he quit acting to become a professional soccer player or something, didn't he?
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think he did.
That's right.
How's that working out
for you, Andrew? He's 40 years old today. And Cindy Crawford, one of our favorites here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cindy turns 41 years old today. Here's Cindy working a candy cane.
This was good.
It's a candy cane. Yes. Oh, yeah. On a candy cane.
How do you like that?
It's shrinking.
No, it's not.
Oh.
No, it's not. No more juicy beef drops?
Generous slices of juicy beef.
Yeah, I figured that was coming. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Well, let's head into the prize closet and see what we have for new week. Well, we got a brand new K-Rock t-shirt, first of all. Oh, how about this? We'll give you Academy Award-nominated Babel on DVD in stores today, starring Cate Blanchett and Brad Pitt. That's a pretty good deal right
That's
there,
nice.
Right?
That's nice, yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Got some good calls here. Where do you want to start?
All right, let's start with Jason in Brea. Good morning, Jason.
Morning.
What do you do, nephew?
Nothing. Just talking about the high-speed chase yesterday.
Oh, I missed it.
I did, too.
I love high-speed chases. What happened?
Well, the guy would vandalize the car, and then the girl told the campus security, and then he told the campus security guard to shoot him, and he wouldn't do that. So then he got in the car, and the cops rammed him 6 or 7 times, and then he got out and threw a punch at the officer, and the officers jumped on him and hogtied him.
Wow.
That's good times right there.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good high-speed chase.
That guy really wanted to die, didn't he?
If a guy ever says to a law enforcement official, just shoot me. Just do
it. Yeah, he told him just shoot.
You know what I'm saying?
But he was a security officer, for God's sakes. It wasn't even the police.
Right. Well, right, then, he told the police to shoot him, too.
Oh. Yeah, well, I'm saying, let's, saves everybody a lot of paperwork. Yeah. I'm just saying, let's just,
We don't have to pay to put him in jail, meals, all that stuff.
Exactly.
They haven't done one of those. I know we're giving up on getting the cable channel, which high-speed car chases so rightfully deserves, but they haven't even done one of those primetime specials in a while where they take the best ones from throughout the country and puts them together in 1 hour. Where are we on that? Why can't they get that stuff on TV more often when people are watching?
Talk to your boy with 101 things found up the butt.
Yeah.
Talk to him. Meet your guy. Have him put a little something together.
We miss so many of these because we don't happen to be around a television set on a Sunday afternoon at 2 or something. They need to save this stuff, record it, and put it on when we're watching.
That's what I'm talking about. They need to put out DVDs. It's the best.
Exactly.
I think so.
Eddie in Canoga Park. Good morning.
What do you do, party people?
What's going on?
Hey, Eddie.
Heroes.
Oh.
That show.
So good last night, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was just the best yet.
That show, they really got it going on over there. They know how to move that story right along.
Yes, they do. In comparison with Lost.
All the questions they tell you they're going to answer, they actually answer them.
They don't even tell you they're going to answer them. They just answer them every week. Boom, you get a new answer. They don't have to tease it.
Oh, it was great. Like last night, you see Siler going after that chick that can hear for miles.
Yeah,
why can't they show him what he actually does when he opens her skull?
Doesn't he eat their brains?
One episode they showed a bunch of his corpses. I think when Hero was visiting the future, he saw a bunch of people laying on the ground with the top of their heads missing. But they're not trying to make it too graphic. But you know he eats their brains.
Oh,
good times.
It's the best. Just the best.
That's a well-done show. I agree. That's a well-done show.
Peter's getting cranky, man. He's tapped into all of his powers, and he is not a happy fellow. I'll tell you that much.
I'm thinking about, tell me what you guys think, legally changing my name to Mohinder Suresh. What do you guys think?
I like it.
Yes, sir.
Kevin and Mohinder?
I like it. It rolls off the tongue. Nick in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Hey, what do you do, Uncle?
What do you do, nephew?
What's going on?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I was in Vegas this weekend. I hooked up with some guys from the Belvedere Vodka Company. They gave me some VIP passes to the LeBron James party.
Nice.
And I was looking for Omar and the guys all this weekend, man. I knew they might be there. So
they were. They were
up in there. I seen LeBron James, DMC, Lil Wayne. I seen all kinds of people, but I didn't see them.
Dude, you saw Lil Wayne?
Oh.
Yeah, Lil Wayne, man, the grill and all.
I hold out for Big Wayne.
I've probably seen about 150 people wearing grills. It was crazy.
Omar and Dave the King of Mexico were at a bunch of different parties, one of them where Suge Knight allegedly started a brawl, and they had to run for their lives. So you're lucky you weren't with them.
Ah, man, I wish I was with them. What are you talking about?
When you were at the LeBron James party, they were in the back of a flatbed of a truck someplace.
Dancing and shouting.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Get Dave's Afro call.
Everywhere.
Thank you, Nick, for the call.
Listen to this, by the way. Las Vegas, the first non-NBA city to ever host the All-Star Game, by the way, and they had 5 days of festivities going on out there, way bigger than, say, New Year's Eve in Las Vegas. The police arrested 362 people during the All-Star Game weekend, which is just insane, crazy. I mean, they were arresting them everywhere, at the airport, at the hotels, on the strip. So many fights breaking out. It was ugly.
Here's a call on the shut up lighting in my ear. Here's a call on the Afro line that Dave the King of Mexico made from Vegas.
Hey guys, what up? It's 7 a.m. It's Dave the King of Mexico here hanging out at the MGM Grand with Omar. We're here for the NBA All-Star Game. Dude, I got a T-Mobile sidekick, Dwayne Wade edition. What? Hey baby, what's up? Hey, how you doing? Good looking? Hey, you want to hook up or what?
Nice.
That's the call from Dave.
Sure, that worked.
He was more excited about his new limited edition sidekick than
anything.
He stayed in the lobby going, what? What?
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yeah, apparently they did. Jim Grant at room service.
Lisa, you're a woman. Do you want to hook up or what work? Is that effective?
It's only if you're retarded.
Dave just stands in the lobby and just gives them the come here sign, says what, and they just line up.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
My name is Earl last week, where Randy comes up to a girl at the bar and says, are you drunk enough to go home with me?
She takes down the drink.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Jim in Alta Loma, good morning.
What'd it do? Oh, man, just working on some F2 phone lines. Got to go up in people's backyards on a telephone pole, looked over to my right, saw a lady changing in a room, and she saw me seeing her, and I ate it off my ladder into her bushes, and her little chihuahua started gnawing at my ankles.
Is that all a euphemism?
Yeah, that sounds like some kind of crazy sex you had.
It sure does.
Fell into her bush
doing the gnawing
and
chihuahua.
And then someone gnawed on you.
Now, was she upset when she saw you, or you got away you didn't know?
I thought maybe since she saw me fall in her backyard, she might come and give me some sympathy love, but no, she called the cops on me.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, she made the right call.
But, I mean, let's face it, it's not like you were climbing a tree to look in her window. You had a legitimate legal reason to be up there in that tree or on that phone pole, right?
She wasn't buying it. All I had was my orange T-shirt on. I don't work for the phone company, actually. So.
Wait a minute. Who do you work
for?
You
a vigilante phone installer?
Yeah, he's an outlaw.
He plays by his own rules.
He might hook up your phone. He might not. That's how crazy
man.
He is.
He's an outlaw.
Yeah, I'm a contractor, and I'm just listening on the phone lines,
Well,
I've been shaky.
That's no,
that sounds bad.
This all sounds good on the up and up. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Got my orange T-shirt on.
Listening in on calls.
F2s.
F1s, whatever it takes. F3s.
All right. You know how I hate to go out on a good call. You know why I always like to take sure. one more call so that we can end on a down note. Let's talk to Philip in Long Beach, because this is something I'm actually interested in finding out more about.
Yeah. Philip, hi.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Philip.
Well, what it do, nephew? Hey, since Kevin was talking about how good he's at ping pong, I'd like to challenge him to a game of ping pong.
Wow.
Oh. It's on.
Oh.
You got served.
You're out of your league, Philip. You don't know this, but you're out of your league.
I'd like to maybe put a wager on that, too.
Yeah, I don't care that much about ping pong.
Oh, he's going to stomp the table.
Kevin watched that TV show, and he took his game to a whole new level.
Stomp the table.
To stomp the table. Where are you from?
Philip, what's your experience with ping pong? Kevin was on the 94 U.S. Olympic team in China.
I've been playing since I was real young, so I think I could take him.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
It's hard for me to measure the lack of interest in my own self. I only brought that up because of the TV show that was Your LA or whatever that is, yeah. That said that you could take your ping pong game to the next level. And I was curious, who's the audience for that?
Well, you did say on the air that you could beat anyone at ping pong, though, right?
Yeah, I also say women want me. You know, come on. You got to take what I say with a grain of salt, for God's sake.
All right, Philip, sounds like you're being rejected here, but thanks for the call anyway.
That's a good one to go to, though, Bean. That's a good answer.
Once again, your sense of what is funny and what is not is unerring.
Why go with the guy who fell into bushes while peeping out a chick changing the bathroom? That's what I say. Why end on that call?
We had the hilarious ping pong challenge to go to.
Yep. That is what I'm famous for. Yeah. All right. I want to thank all of our many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Andre Kopitar from your Los Angeles Kings for joining us. You can see the Kings playing against the Canucks this Thursday night, and join Kevin at the game on Saturday night against the Colorado Avalanche. Tickets for both those games available at all Ticketmaster outlets. Also, thanks to actress Christina Ricci for joining us, too. Her new film opens up a week from Friday. It is called Black Snake Moan. And how about Jerry Springer? King Jerry on the program today, returning for his 16th season of the Jerry Springer Show. That airs at 1 o'clock on KTLA Channel 5.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. We have an all-new show for you, and we are going to discuss Lost.
I'm not familiar with that
show. Is it gone forever?
You're dead to me.
It is for my TiVo.
I don't think I can stop yet.
Give it up.
Because I need to find answers.
There will be none. Wait for the series finale 3 years from now when they put the final episode
on. We used to do highlights of Lost on our show on Thursdays, the whole deal. Now we're not sure. Ralph, I think, has taken it off his TiVo. Bean is either seriously considered or has done that.
I'm teetering because it was so bad last season, and then it was gone for long enough that you realize you can live without it, not like during the first season where you were so excited about everybody. And it hasn't exactly come back on with great episodes. It's not like it came back out of the gate and hooked us all again. It came back kind of with a whimper, and that's why I'm with Ralph. I'm kind of like, it's almost like kind of a waste of time now, I think.
It does hurt that Heroes is on the air you can compare it to, which is paying off handsomely every week.
Right, true. Yeah.
Yes.
Also, tomorrow we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about Britney Spears and her friends.
And who touched her?
The hell's going on there? Who touched her? Yeah. Dr. Drew always knows.
That's always Drew's answer for everything.
He always knows.
Who touched you?
Paula Abdul has never been drunk. Tyra Banks really blows. And Chicks with Webcams. All tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a pretty good show. I'd listen to that.
Sure, why not? Kat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. How about Incubus and Dig? We got Pennywise coming up. Also Pearl Jam, Killers, Fall Out Boy, Green Day, and the Silver Sun Pickups. New music on K-Rock. It's all straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.